Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. And when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Hey y'all, this is Half Pipe from Son of Berserk, No Self-Control. Keep it tuned to DeMaya After Further Review on GQ Palace Radio.
This is Johan, and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. For some great sports talk and debate, check out the mail on After Further Review on Tuesday night. Say night. Say
call
night,
in, call night, in, night, call night, in, call night. In.
Peace. Peace. What's going down, man? The mayor in the building. You know what it is. Tuesday night vibe. We rocking at you, rocking with you, and all that good stuff. You're tuned in right now to After Brother Review on GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. We are in the building with the mayor, live and direct, man. Where do I begin, man? Do we begin with the demise of the Miami Heat? Do we begin with the demise of my beloved New York Rangers and all that? We talk about the World Cup that's popping off. We're going to definitely get some baseball talking popping tonight, man. You know what I'm saying? Because we haven't really got into it like I like to get into it. So we're going to definitely do that probably later on in the show and all that. But before we get it on and popping, man, I got to shout out to big homie Rich Money doing his thing, Miss Lavina in the building and all that good stuff. The whole GQ Power situation, you know what I mean? 646-200-3838 is the mathematics to call. You got the mayor in the building, man, live and direct, man. Feeling some kind of way, man, because we lost some people, man, and from the sports world, man. A lot of heavyweights, man, we lost, man. Chuck Knoll, that is coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then, you know, dynasty glory years. You know what I mean? He passed away. Bob Welch, he was the pitcher for the Dodgers and the Oakland A's, and I remember him from when he struck out Reggie Jackson in game two of the 78 World Series. He passed away. He was the last pitcher to win 25 games. So respect to him. And we lost Tony Gwynn, man, from the San Diego Padres, a heavyweight. I felt fortunate to have to see him play when I was out in San Diego or whatever. But, you know, that's a real loss right there, man. A lot of sports figures, man, that, you know, are now no longer with us, man. We just want to shout them out and make sure that, you know, we keep them in our conversations, man, because they just definitely deserve that. So we rock it, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. We're going to go live and direct, man. That's how we do on Tuesday night, man. 2 hours straight, 8 to 10. You know what I mean? No shorts taken, no preservatives, no additives. It's just the phone and the people and the conversation. So it is what it is, man. June 17th, I hope you hydrated, because it's definitely, definitely a scorch out there, man. You know what I mean? So definitely take care of the kids, man. Make sure they got their situation together and all that, and then make sure your situation is together, too. So that's a PSA from the mayor live and direct on GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. So let's get it popping, man. We here. NBA Finals. All the Miami Heat fans and all that stuff right there, man. You know, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday, ain't it? You know, LeBron, you know, I just, you know, really don't understand why people all of a sudden, you know, on this thing about he didn't have any help in Miami. That, to me, is such the biggest crock of doo-doo since they was going to make the Jeffersons movie over. It don't make no sense. LeBron had his team. They just was off. And they just was wore out. They just was tired. So all the excuses about he didn't have no help, but trying to compare this this Miami Heat team to his team that he was with when Cleveland does him no justice. it does the Cleveland Cavaliers no justice, and it definitely does the Miami Heat no justice. You know what I'm saying? So it just is what it is. They just got beat by a better team. I don't know what you thought. You know what I mean? And especially in the final game in Game 5 when, you know, Miami went out and jumped out to a 22-5 lead. You know, and LeBron had 17 points in the first quarter. He's making all these screw faces. You know what I mean? Like, he was really doing some damage. It was only the first quarter, son. You finally decide to show up without having any stomach cramps, the bubble guts, you know what I mean, or whatever you was dealing with. So nobody was gassed because you had 17 points in the first quarter. And after that, you was done. It was a done deal for you. So, you know, because, you know, you was rocking with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Chalmers and the whole crew. You know the names. You know what I'm saying? And when they was winning titles, all good. You know what I mean? So they run into a rough stretch. And I always said that. Even the past couple of years, I always said, you know, Miami needed to have some adversity. And this is the first, you know, sign of adversity that I ever seen them deal with, being down 3-1. And if I, and I don't want to hear about the 2-2-1-1, I don't want to hear about that. That's neither here nor there. We're just talking straight what these teams did or did not do. You know what I mean? So basically, the Heat, don't want to say they didn't show up. Some people just had off series. It happens. You know, but I'm just saying, how come nobody's saying that? Everybody's saying that, oh, LeBron didn't have any help. Like, you were just expecting him to win. Like, you were just going to bequeath him the title. Why even play the series at all? And that's what happened. You know what I mean? So, you know, they came up short. And nobody predicted, well, a couple of people did say that they thought they might, that San Antonio would win the series in 5 games. You know what I mean? And they were, you know, they were correct, and that's a good look for them. You know, but I picked that San Antonio would win in 6 because I, you know, gave Miami that much respect. You know what I mean? I just didn't think that they were going to stretch it to a 7-game and San Antonio wasn't going to let them get away with murder like they did last year. Because truth be told, San Antonio should have won the NBA championship last year. You know what I mean? So it definitely wasn't going to happen two years in a row or whatever. But, you know, shout-out to the San Antonio Spurs, man. Shout-out to the MVP, Kawhi Leonard. You know what I mean? He did his numbers the whole series. You know, all this talk now about him being a top five and this and that and the third. Let him grow and get into his game. 22 years old, MVP of the NBA Finals. Let him live. You know what I mean? I just can't get with this new math, man. All of a sudden, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's a top five. I don't get that. He just had a nice series, you know what I mean? And again, he did do his numbers, so you can't take that away from him. And anybody else that you wanted to make MVP, you would have had to put up a real strong argument. So that's how nice Kawhi Leonard did in the NBA Finals, you know what I mean? He deserved the MVP. But to say all of a sudden he's, you know, one of the best, and nah, fall back. Relax. Let him get some time under his belt, man. This is what's killing me about these new cats, yo. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. NHL Finals, going to touch on that a little bit, man. My Rangers, man. Yo, it just is what it is. There's a couple of ways you can look at this Stanley Cup Finals. Because the Rangers, they were in the first two games. They should have won the first two games, but they lost them in overtime. Both of them. They lost game one in overtime after having a 2-0 lead. They lost game one in overtime. Game two, they had a 2-0 lead. They had a 3-1 lead. And they had a 4-2 lead. And they still lost in overtime. Game two. Game three, they just got shut out, 3-0. You know, game four, they won game four to stay alive. And game five, I just think that, you know, it went to overtime, you know, double overtime, and they did what they had to do, man. But I just think eventually the Rangers, again, they came up short because they, you know, overplayed or overthought a lot of the situations that they were having in the series because, you know, up 2-0 in L.A., game one, you know, you're supposed to be able to, you know, come out of there with at least one win. You can't explain that to anybody how the Kings played the first two games of the series. They didn't have a lead at regulation at all. They never had the lead in the series, but they won both games. So how do you explain that to somebody? But anyway, shout out to the Rangers, man. They went a lot further than a lot of people, you know, give them credit for. But I'm gonna give myself some respect because I picked the Rangers to go to the Eastern Stanley Cup Finals against Colorado. So they made me look good for a hot minute. But it's all good. It's always next year. And Rick Nash needed to show up in the finals. He didn't show up, you know, at all. I'm not gonna put a lot of blame on Henrik Lundqvist because he did what he could do. you know, even with the giveaway in game one that we lost in overtime, you know what I mean? That wasn't his fault. He does the best that he could do. So shout out to the King, Henrik Lundqvist. Shout out to the Rangers for doing what they do, man. And congratulations to the Los Angeles Kings, man, Stanley Cup champions and all of that. We here, man, live and direct, man. You know how it is and how it goes down on Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock, the mayor's in the building. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation live and direct. Definitely want to get into a little baseball because that's what I mean, I'm a baseball dude, as you're well aware. Trying to get some things on my Yankees right here. You know, you just got to take what you get right now with the Yankees. You just got to take what you can get right now. Tanaka's carrying the team, and, you know, he's doing his numbers. He should win 20 games, and I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse. He's kind of like really, really making, you know, the money that they gave CeCe kind of look like bad dough, you know, because CeCe's not hasn't done anything the last 2 years, and I'm going to say that. You know, and Tanaka's coming over here, and he's doing what he does. And, you know, he's so nice. He hasn't had a 3-0 count or any batter at all this season. So, how, you know, he's killing it right now. So he's the MVP of the Yankees. He's the reason why the Yankees are further behind Toronto Blue Jays. But you can't, you know, front on them. The Blue Jays are having a great season, the season that they should have had last year when they got all these new guys. But I guess it took them, you know, Jose Reyes was hurt. You know, they did what they had to do. Burley's doing numbers this year. Dickey's doing numbers this year. They got rid of Josh Johnson. Encarnacion's still hitting the ball. Bautista's still hitting the ball. You know what I mean? And so now, and Reyes is adding to the offense as well. So they're having the type of season that, you know, I picked them to have last year, but maybe I was a year too late or a year too early, however you want to slice it. You got the mayor in the building, man, ready to get it in, on, and popping. Yeah, shout out to Toronto Blue Jays, man. Still want to talk about them Cleveland Indians trying to make a run at Detroit in the American League Central. At least they're not in last place anymore. You know what I mean? I did pick them to win the division at the end of the day. But, you know, it's a long season or whatever. At least they're coming off and acting like they want to be there now. And like I always said, man, Terry Francona does not, you know, manage any losers, man. You know what I mean? Won 2 rings in Boston. You know what I mean? Just try to get that winning attitude in Cleveland and see if they can make that happen. So, yeah, man, I want to talk about Tony Gwynn, man, who passed away earlier this week, yesterday, I believe, because of cancer, man. You know, he was a proponent of the chewing tobacco. You always saw him, you know, with the chewing tobacco situation going on. I mean, you know, to the people who still do that, you know, that's your thing. But, you know, I think that, you know, you kind of like take a lesson from, you know, a guy like Mr. Gwynn, man, and kind of like see what not to do. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, as they say, you know, it'll catch up to you at the end of the day or whatever, and that was his situation. And, again, man, nothing takes away from, you know, him just being, like, one of the ultimate all-time hitters. He would have hit 400 in 1994 if it wasn't for the strike. You know, and the Yankees would have been in the World Series, too, against Montreal, but I'm not going to get into that. But, yeah, he was really, really a great hitter. He was the coach at San Diego State, his alma mater. That's where he was from, you know what I mean? And he played for the Padres his whole career, and he made the All-Star game 18 times. That's crazy, you know what I mean? And he really was an ambassador and a good person, you know what I mean, to represent the game of baseball. And, I mean, he wasn't the power hitter dude. I remember he had a home run against the Yankees in the 98 World Series, you know what I mean? So what? But respect to him and his career and what he, you know, did for baseball and all that. But it's just sad to see him go. He was only 54 years old, you know what I mean? And his son, Tony Gwynn Jr., plays for the Philadelphia Phillies. Definitely, you know, carry his name on and, you know, keep good things happening as far as baseball and all that's concerned. But we never going to forget Tony Gwynn, though. I mean, I had the honor, the privilege of seeing him play out in San Diego when I was out there. And, you know, just, you know, he was all over the place with it. Watching him batting practice, he was spraying balls all over the field. You know what I mean? And it seemed like he loses the look of like a little bat. You know what I mean? So, but just watching him in person, man, just really, you know, kind of like put a shine on, you know, how he did his thing. It's different from watching it on TV, you know what I mean? But, again, man, rest in peace to Tony Gwynn, man, from San Diego Padres and all of that. Bob Welch. You know what I mean? He's a pitcher for the Dodgers back in the day, and he pitched for Oakland A's recently. He was the last guy to win 25 games. I just remember him distinctly from in 1978 when the Yankees were playing Dodgers in the 70 in the World Series, and he was a rookie. You know, and Reggie Jackson came up and he struck Reggie Jackson out in the top of the ninth, and it was real crazy. They talked about that for forever until I think Game Six, where Reggie Jackson cracked him for a home run and got his revenge or whatever. But Bob Welch was a good pitcher, you know what I mean? He did his numbers. Again, he was the last pitcher to win 25 games. So he, you know, did his thing when even when he was with the Oakland A's and they had Dave Stewart and Dennis Eckersley and all of those guys. So, again, Bob Welch, you know, I think he had a heart attack, you know. So, you know, fellas, man, you know, take care of yourself, man, because there's only, you know, one you, and only you could be you, you know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man. Just handle your handle and, you know, going away young like that, man, is not a, you know, is not cool. But you know you can't, nothing's promised. Nothing's promised. So I'm not gonna get on no tangent or nothing like that, but it just is what it is. You gotta, you know, take care of yourself so you can be around. Chuck Noll, man, Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow, you know, he lived a full life. But I just, you know, kinda, you know, remember him from just being, you know, one of the how do I say, the originals from my era or whatever, because you got Chuck Noll, you got Tom Landry, you know what I'm saying? You got Bud Grant from the Vikings, you know what I mean? And it's a couple others that I don't know I want to throw in, but Don Shula from Miami Dolphins, all right? Do we put Don Coryell in there from the Chargers? Do we put Bum Phillips in there from the Oilers? You know what I mean? The original coach crew, John Madden from the Oakland Raiders. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he was one of those dudes, man, that you know, I guess he was, I guess, stern in his approach, but it turned his team into winners. They won the Super Bowl. They beat the Vikings in their first Super Bowl. They beat the Cowboys in Super Bowl 10. They beat the Cowboys again in Super Bowl 13. I think it was the Rams they beat in Super Bowl 14. So they were just really consistent and a model franchise. You know what I mean? So, and you can recall, you can remember a bunch of people on those Pittsburgh Steelers teams. That just lets you know, gives you a sign of, you know, how, you know, how good they were and how much they effect they had on the game. But Chuck Noll was one of those coaches, man, that, you know, you had to respect because he did his numbers. And again, man, it's sad to see the old guard getting out of here like that, man. But, you know, respect to Chuck Noll and respect to everybody, man, that, you know, that loves sports. Just love sports, man, and love what goes on, you know, outside of sports. Just it's not far away from real life, but we try to do something, man, to take us away from the problems that we're dealing with and whatever. But, you know, enjoy some sports, man. You know what I mean? We definitely going to, you know, talk about these guys, man, and the effect they had on us, and names are going to carry on, you know, as long as we, you know, got breath in our body when we're going to talk about sports. Those guys' names are always going to have to be mentioned. And I just wanted to kick that right there. I'm going to turn it over right quick. Baseball scores, you know how I get down. Yankees 2, Blue Jays 1, bottom of the third, top of the fifth, Angels trailing in the Indians, 2-1. Bottom of the fourth, Phillies 4, Braves nothing. Bottom of the fourth, Cubs 3, Marlins 1, top of the fourth, Washington Nationals 4, Houston Astros nothing. Top of the fourth, Pirates 2, Reds 1. Top of the fourth, Red Sox 2, Twins nothing. Top of the fourth, Royals 7, Tigers 2. What's up with them Tigers, man? Ziggy, holler at me. Bottom of the third, Orioles 5, Rays 2. Top of the second, Giants 1, White Sox nothing. The final of the day, we got the Seattle Mariners over the San Diego Padres 6-1. And we got a late one going on right quick going on tonight. We'll probably touch on that one later on because I want to talk about some baseball, definitely. Milwaukee in Arizona is at 9:40. Rangers and Oakland A's at 10:05, and the Rockies and the Dodgers at 10:10. Top of the first in St. Louis, no score between the Mets and the Cardinals. So that's what it is, man. After further reviews in the building, you got the mayor, 646-200-3838 is the number to get at me. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Talking about baseball some more, man. The Boston Red Sox, they finally, you know, ran out of patience with Grady Sizemore after the first couple of weeks of the season, how he was, you know, tearing it up, you know. And maybe, you know, he's run out of gas a little bit. You know, they sent him down to the minors, you know, because you know, struggling at the plate or whatever and not really doing his numbers like he usually does, like he's done earlier in the season. But the Red Sox, man, you know, unless they're planning on some serious run in the second half, I think they're almost kind of done. You know what I mean? I think they're like 9 games back. And it's still, you know, it's June. You know what I mean? Stranger things have happened, but I don't think that Red Sox team has the, you know, the pitching. Buchholz is having a difficult time this season. You know what I mean? And they're having, you know, Will Middlebrooks is sent down, brought back up. They don't know what the situation is with Bogarts. So a lot of things going on with the Red Sox, but I can't really worry about them because I got my own problems with the Yankees or whatever. But, again, you know, it's going to get good in the next maybe, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. That's when it's going to really get good. I'm going to have my all-star picks next week, do my all-star picks. I hope we can talk about some baseball, man, pick who you're going to pick for the all-star game. I'd like to see Derek Jeter and Robinson Cano play second base and shortstop one last time, you know, at the all-star game. I'd like to see that. You know, basically, go to see if Burley's going to start the all-star game because he has, you know, 10 wins. And he's doing his thing. See who the all-star starters are going to be. Johnny Cueto kind of fell off the map from Cincinnati. But it's a lot of competition. Adam Wainwright from St. Louis Cardinals might get the start for the National League. So it's really, you know, the season, nobody's really running away with anything. You know what I mean? So we're going to see what the baseball season pans out. I'm excited to, you know, looking forward to seeing what it's going to do, you know. And really, I don't want to really get into a lot of football tonight. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to get into that next month. It's going to be crazy with the training camps and exhibition games and all that. So I'm going to try to give baseball some love for the next couple of weeks right here. You want to chop it up with me, 646-200-3838 is the math. And press 1 to get in on the conversation real quick with the mayor as we do it after further review. GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports, is in the building. World Cup, man. United States did their thing against Ghana. You know, nobody saw really. I mean, you know, you had to give them respect. I didn't think they was going to beat Ghana because I didn't think that really. I don't think that their team is that good. You know what I mean? But again, they scored 30 seconds into the game. That was just kind of like turned the whole tide around and changed the whole dynamic of the game because you were looking forward to a tight, close game and they just walked in on Ghana and scored. Ghana scored to tie the game up, I think, in the 82nd minute. They scored to tie it up. But then now you're back in Dramaville, you know what I mean? But the United States came right back and scored a goal on a sidekick, and boom, it was 2-1, and they beat Ghana. So they play Portugal on Sunday, and we'll see what it is. It's take one at a time, basically. That's all you could say. And hoping that the kid Altidore can come back, because it looked like he took a serious injury in the game yesterday. Josie Altidore, see if he can get back. And we'll just take it one game at a time. I'm not really putting no stock into them, you know, winning the World Cup. That's not really where I'm at with it. But they won a couple of games. See if they get out of their group, because they have to see Germany, too, before it's all over with. So, you know, we'll see where it's at. They won a game. That's a good start. And shout-out to the USA soccer team, man, doing their numbers at the World Cup. Yeah, that's right. Drop the bomb on that. That's what it is. I got my man Rich Money in the building, man, doing his thing, hard body karate. You know what it is. And I got Miss Levine in the house and all that good stuff, too. Shout out to GQ Palace Sports, a.k.a. GQ Palace Radio in the building. Got the mayor in the house, hard body karate. Shout out to the Houston Astros, man. They really, really trying. You got to give it to them. You know, they added some new guys, some, you know, some rookies, some homegrown talent. George Springer, and he's got actually like 14 home runs already, so he's doing his numbers. And John Singleton plays first base for them now. You know, he just signed his deal, and, you know, he's getting his money, and he's doing his thing. So the Houston Astros, you know, they're definitely not going to be no pushover, you know, as far as this season is concerned. And I like the way Bo Porter has them rocking, you know what I mean? You know, you're not going to lose 100 games this year. You're not going to do that. And, the pitching for Houston is not the greatest. But, you know, Feltman and a couple of other guys right there, you know what I mean, they're holding down the fort, and they're getting a lot of offense that they didn't expect. But they're going to take their bumps, you know what I mean? I think they need to land somebody that you know, is going to make some noise, you know, and as long as those young guys are hitting and they're doing what they're supposed to do, because they even got a guy named Dominguez at third base, Castro behind the plate, and the shortstop's name escapes me right now. But the Houston Astros have a good young nucleus. They got a lot of things going on, and I'm looking to see what's going to happen in these dog days that's getting ready to come up, because it's hot outside now, so it's baseball weather. And down there in Houston, I guess they could close the roof when they want to at Minute Maid. You know what I mean? But it is what it is, man. And it's getting ready to be, you know, the best part of the year right here. The pennant races is getting ready to pop off. All-star game. This baseball season has kind of been like, you know, here and there for me. You know what I mean? I check in. I keep up with the Yankees. I try to keep up with, you know, what's going on around American League or whatever. Touch in with the Mets a little bit. See what they're doing. But, I mean, it hasn't really been, you know, nothing necessary to say, oh, okay, I'm going to sit and watch this game or sit and just keep up and pour over every stat. I don't do that. You know what I mean? But I peep what's going on. I'm definitely abreast of what's going on, so we could definitely talk about it or whatever. But, again, a surprise dude for me this year has been the kid, the second baseman for the Minnesota Twins, you know, Brian Dozier. He's got 15 home runs, little guy doing his numbers, you know, knocking out the box. He's kind of reminding me of what Jason Kipnis did last year with the Cleveland Indians, you know. You know, second baseman. Little pop in the bat, you know what I mean? Little defense, you know. Not Robinson Cano numbers at all, no way, but enough to, you know, you have to respect their power, you know. And speaking of Robinson Cano, you know, his power is really null and void. He's got 3 home runs at this point, you know what I mean? So definitely, you know, a change of scenery and a bigger ballpark, you know, you got to factor that in there too. You know, his power numbers are definitely down. His average is up. You know what I mean? But his power numbers are definitely down, and that's, I don't think that's what Seattle, you know, signed up for when they gave Robinson Cano all that money. But it is what it is, man. You know, he's got a good pitcher out there with him, with Felix Hernandez and Ikemura. And so Seattle's, you know, going to do some things, but I think they need more. They needed more, and they still need more. But we'll see. You know, that has yet to be seen. The trading deadline is a few weeks away, and we'll see what it is, man. You got after further review in the building with the mayor, man. Tuesday night vibing, 646-200-3838 is the math. You know, hope you're enjoying this weather, man. You asked for it. When it was snowing and all that stuff earlier, you was like, well, I can't deal with this. Wah, wah. Well, here you go. Sun is back in the building. So I hope you're enjoying it. Hope you got hydrated, you know what I mean? Get your ice cream on or however you get down. Get your water on, most definitely. Get your water on. Shout out to my homies and everybody out there at Rucker Park right now, getting it in at the EBC. The Entertainers Basketball Classic popping off tonight at the Rucker. You know what I mean? Definitely going to be in the building real soon. Got the mayor in the house right now. On GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports, is rocking you right now, man. Getting to some more baseball talk, man, because you know how I do it. I love to talk about baseball, man. San Francisco Giants, not scared of them. San Francisco Giants, not scared of them at all. You know what I mean? They got the best record in baseball. You know what I mean? Doing what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean? The Giants don't have a bad squad, man. And Tim Hudson, what they got from the Atlanta Braves, is making them that much better. You know? So, again, respect to the Giants and the Dodgers. They're supposed to be doing what the Giants are doing right now. You know? But, you know, Yasiel Puig has all of a sudden, you know, become fragile Puig. You know what I mean? He's always coming up lame, you know? And I just think Don Mattingly is kind of like, you know, trying to hang on right now because, you know, he's waiting for the Giants to go through a losing streak right now. But, you know, the Dodgers, they definitely playing under, you know, they're playing under expectations right now. National League East, Atlanta Braves. Hey, what can you say about them, man? They you know, their model of consistency, still in the building, man, you know, and it's going to be a battle with them and the Washington Nationals if the Nationals ever decide to get right. You know, Gio Gonzalez is out right now. You know, they're having a decision to make with Adam LaRoche. You know, they already have Ryan Zimmerman playing first base. They got half the money saved up for Adam LaRoche's bus ticket out of town. So, again, if the Nationals can, you know, keep pace with Atlanta, because Atlanta's going to definitely be there at the end. Steven Strasburg, he's pitched nice. You know, his last 6 or 7 starts, he's pitched really, really decent, better than decent. You know what I mean? So he's definitely have to keep it up. And really his first season of going all out. So that's where we are with them. You got GQ Palace in the building, GQ Palace Radio. You got the mayor in the house. I didn't hear the bell, but it's all good. Kia, if you're in the building, what's good?
Hello.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's up?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. How can I help you?
No, I said, how are you?
I'm good. Hot. It's hot, man.
It's hot.
I'm trying to, I sound like senior love daddies on the radio, man. It's hot.
It ain't even hot.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, what's up?
Nothing. I'm just, you know, ready for some football. I heard you say you
were not
going to
talk about football
straight.
Today. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm just saying. I heard what you
okay.
said.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I
mean, you know, no disrespect or nothing, but I feel like, you know, let's get ready to be training camp. You're going to talk about it all next month. I'm going to, like, let them live. I got to talk about something. There's a lot of other stuff going on.
No, and some teams are going through mini camp, so, you know, there's some situations going on now, whether, you know, especially down in Houston, whether Andre Johnson, what is he going to do, you know, some stuff's still going on.
Right. But it's not like, you know, my thing is, he's got until a certain time to do that. And I don't really want to get into football until, like, July or August, you know what I mean, because it's, like, all year round, and I don't really want to talk about it, because we should talk about the same thing. Who's going to come back? Who's named for quarterback? Blah, 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 blah. And when you get to training camp, that's why I don't like, you know, picking who's going to win the division. And nobody knows who's going to be on the rosters right now. So that's why I'm just kind of chilling on that. But next month, we're going to definitely get into it, because that's when it's going to pop off. But what else you want to get into?
Since you were just talking about baseball, I mean, you know.
Yeah. It's like the third of the season is over with right now. You know, I kind of like to expect a little bit more out of the Yankees, but I take what I can, you know, take what I get from them. You know, if it wasn't for Tanaka, we'd be, like, in, you know, last place right now.
Yeah, he's holding the
broom
straws together. So
yes, he's the MVP, the POY, whatever you want to call it. That's him.
He's getting Cy Young. He's getting everything. He deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just imagine if even one of those guys, you know, out of CC or Pineda, or Nova was right. You know what I mean? If one of those dudes was right. You know what I mean? We'd be right there, you know, because the Blue Jays are just, you know, they having the year that they should have had last year.
Well, yeah, you know? But I'm not banking on that what they having until after the, you know, we'll see. Let's see how.
Because last year they was done. At this point, last year the Blue Jays was done. Remember, because I picked them, you was like, yeah, see what happened to the Blue Jays. What happened to the Blue Jays? I don't know. I have no idea. Nobody's doing their numbers, man. They got all that money and they end up in last place, but. You know, again, you know, even they got rid of Josh Johnson. Jose Reyes is, you know, playing, you know, kind of, you know, injury free. Knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Encarnacion is doing his numbers still. You know what I mean? You know, and Melky Cabrera is hitting. You know, who would have thought that Melky Cabrera, after his situation, he would, you know, come back and be basically kind of like back to normal. And not to mention Bautista. You know what I mean? So, you know, they're doing what they got to do right now. They're hot right now.
They were playing, like, really, I mean, I just saw some nice tributes towards Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's some nice tributes. And his statue outside, you know, up there that they have at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And fans going there.
Yeah,
there some great stories.
Mm-hmm.
From sports, from everybody. Everybody has some great stuff to say about him.
Yeah, I mean, that's how much, you know, that's how you know how respected and admired and, you know, loved he was, you know what I mean?
He was.
Because nobody said nothing bad about Tony Gwynn, and it's the truth what they talk about.
Everybody has something nice to say about
him.
You know, and got some nice emotional stuff from guys who played with him, gone too early, you know.
Right.
It's, you know.
But, I mean, you know what, at the end of the day, though, like, I kind of opened the show up with that. You know, you got to look at it, you know, he kept the tobacco in his mouth. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, respect to him and his family or whatever. But again, I think that's a kind of like a warning, not like a warning, but like kind of like what not to do, you know, to these young cats that's coming up. You know what I mean?
And I'm quite sure he made awareness to other
athletes.
Right,
no doubt.
Especially
no doubt.
People that knew him and knew what he, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I, like I said, I heard some. I mean, I don't remember his career, but I heard some
Yeah, great, man. He was the type of dude that could kind of like, you know, somebody said he was like a dude. He was like a pool player playing baseball.
Right.
He could hit the ball wherever he said he wanted the ball to go, that's where it's gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I mean, he and you know, 19 years batting over 300. Who does that?
Right, I saw that 8 times.
Yeah,
I saw
you know.
That.
Yeah, right. Over, you
I
know, batting
that.
Over 300. You know, and he would have won. He would have hit 400 in 1994. He would have hit because he had enough time left to do it. You know what I mean? And he was hitting like 394, I think, at the time when they had the strike. He was hitting 394. You
well,
know
like
what I mean?
It's from players.
And of course,
he was
left-handed, so you know.
Yeah, that's what's significant about him. He's a lefty.
Yes.
I always say about you.
Yes.
I'm a lefty.
All the good hitters
are
left-handed. Take that as a note. Write that down. All the good hitters are left-handed.
Left-handed people, they just stand out
yes.
in the crowd.
Yes, left-handed is in the building. But,
yes,
I'm left-handed.
Yes.
Yes, that's me on Twitter, y'all, left-handed. But
but no, I just like that all the respect he's getting from even from guys that grew up watching him and
yeah,
baseball
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
talked about him. Uh-huh. It's just everybody had their own reminiscences about a game that he played, the day he played this game against some
mm-hmm.
pitchers that were talking about when he hit this off. You know, there wasn't nothing negative said about Tony
right.
Quinn.
And he played a lot of sports. He played basketball, San Diego
right.
State. You know what I mean? So,
right.
you know, he was versatile dude, so that's how we did it. That
right.
we got some fresh air, and we played all the sports, you know what I mean? But again,
mm-hmm.
yo, he's definitely a loss for baseball,
if
man.
You say, like,
he's definitely going to be remembered, yo.
You know how you said it? He's a manager's player. Like, he was easy to manage.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he did his job.
Right,
you know?
A manager would love somebody like that,
He never had a season where he struck out over 40 times.
Right.
Never. Never.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They were talking about that.
You know, and he was just so nice. He went the whole season. I forgot what season was. It went a whole season. Every other game he got a hit.
Mm.
And he had 4 or 5 hit games. So he was just cracking. And, you know, he wasn't like a power dude. But like I said earlier in the show, I remember when he hit the home run in the 1998 World Series. I said, oh, no. Now, you ain't letting Tony Gwynn hit no home runs. I was like, oh, no. Not Tony Gwynn. But anyway, man. You know, respect due to him, man, and definitely a loss for baseball. But I definitely want to get into Chuck Noll with you, man. What's your thoughts and vibes on that? I know you got
right,
something to say on Chuck
right.
Noll.
I just heard so many stories, especially my brother. They were talking about the stories and brother was tagging and stuff. They were just talking about the different cases, the different just he was a coach's coach. It's just like, you know, I was listening to what Terry Bradshaw was saying about him. You know, and what Dick LeBeau had to say about
mm-hmm.
him. You know, and then other players that played. Rocky Blythe said something today. I was reading an article. Rocky Blythe was saying about him and other players. I haven't read the whole articles about other players that talked about him. But he definitely put Pittsburgh back on the map. They were talking about how he just like regenerate that whole Pittsburgh Steelers team.
Yeah,
and
I mean, Steelers.
Mike Tomlin, he said something about that, too. He
mm-hmm.
said if it wasn't for Chuck Noll, you know, we were just talking about that. And that the headline was like, Pittsburgh lost a great warrior. The city of Pittsburgh lost a great warrior. You know, there's a lot of articles about him. the Pittsburgh
yeah, he was one of the architect dudes. With
yeah.
him and Chuck Knox and Tom Landry and Don Shula, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it definitely
strikes a nerve when you lose somebody. I mean, you know, I remember seeing, you know, games at Chuck Noll, you know what I mean, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they was killing everybody, you know what I'm saying? And he
yeah.
just looked like that dude that just, ran the play into Bradshaw did what he did, and let's get it on and popping, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to respect how he did it. And again, you know what else I respect about, you know, their whole situation in Pittsburgh is that you can name the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You went from Chuck
Noll. That's
what
they were talking about.
You went from Chuck Noll to Cowher, right? Then you went from Cowher to Tomlin, right?
Right.
See?
They were talking
about. You got to respect
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Exactly. Who does that? They were talking about the Rooney family.
Who does that?
They were talking about the Rooney family and
mm-hmm.
it compared to like Lamar Hunt down in Kansas, the Chiefs owner. You know, they were good friends.
Right.
The Rooneys are are good to fix. They're players' family. They, you know, it's like your family of the Rooneys. Regardless if you're working for them or you're playing, the Rooneys treat everybody. They're not, as I said, they have a low tolerance for a lot of stuff.
Right, because they're one of the original, that's right.
They're a great family-oriented football team. They're like a blue-collar, straight blue-collar family.
No doubt.
They, you know, but it's a, you know, they were talking about that, you know, the loss to Pittsburgh, and, you know, I'm quite sure they're going to do something of opening day and, you know, have some ceremonies. A lot of ceremonies going down there in Pittsburgh, and I'm quite sure something's going to be put on a uniform this year to, you know, to honor his legacy. And guys that, and I always say something about legacy. If you leave a great legacy behind, it will always be told.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you leave a great legacy behind, it's going to always be told.
Right. I mean, he was, you know, that dude that, you know, like I said, he, you know, one of the originators, like John Madden, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And those dudes, you know what I'm saying? So they, you know, when we lose those dudes, they have really, really have an impact, and it's felt. And I guess this younger, you know, the new cast is coming up, really don't have that connection because they don't allow themselves to make the connection. You know what I mean? Because I was not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but I respect Chuck Noll. I can name everybody on them teams. And I'm not a Steelers fan at all.
If you was to look at a coach now, a coach in this modern era now, compared to the guys that you just mentioned, the Shulas, the Landry, you said, the Snows,
John Madden,
who you think the coaches now is can sit at that table with them?
I mean, you know what, Kia, I think that, you know, a few of them, I think, are working towards that type of, you know, situation where they're respected and they're always going to have that connection to their teams and you're always going to remember them. I say your dude, Mike Tomlin, because he's won Super Bowls, right? He's been there, you know.
I'm not even talking about Super Bowl. I'm talking about that, you know, like, you
But I'm giving you my reasons why, because all the dudes that we're talking about are winners. You know what I mean?
That's
why I'm going to say your dude in Pittsburgh could be at that table, like you like to say about who's going to sit at the table. You know what I mean? Give him a few more years because definitely he's, you know, getting into the longevity thing. And then I keep bringing up the Steelers because you got to admire how they went from the old school. They're like one coach removed from Chuck Noll. And that coach is Bill Cowher. You stick him in the middle. You got Chuck Noll, you got Bill Cowher, and you got Mike Tomlin. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to respect that. You know what I mean? And so you know, you're one coach removed from Chuck Noll. You can't knock that. So your question, I think Tomlin could be sitting at that table. You know, they want to make John Gruden into one of them dudes, or he's going to need a job. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, maybe Andy Reid might win it, you know, it depends on longevity, you know what I mean, and not bouncing from team to team, you know, that's my criteria for it. If you was to ask me, how would I, you know, choose somebody that would, you know, be looked at as one of those type of coaches who can be that torch carrier, you know what I mean, for the next, you know, generation or whatever. I don't really know that coach.
You probably know the coach of the Chargers. My brother was saying it yesterday. I can't remember his name. They mentioned the Chargers coach. What was his name? Way back in the day? In the
70s. Don Coryell. Don Coryell just couldn't get over the hump. That's all. Don Coryell
Coryell
had squads.
Yeah.
Air Coryell, Dan Fouts was the man. You know, John Jefferson, shout out to Kellen Winslow. Shout out to all of them dudes. You know what I mean? Charlie Joyner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shout out to all of them. But they just couldn't get over the hump.
They were.
You know what I mean? And I would say the same thing about Bum Phillips from the Houston Oilers. They just couldn't beat the Steelers, first of all, even though they got jerked 1 year. And we might have to have a conversation about that, because I still say to this day Mike Renfro was in bounds, but we'll talk about that another time. But
I got to Google that because I want to.
Yeah,
hear
it's a 79 championship
that.
Game, and that was the first instance of the real where we needed instant replay, because they would have had instant replay, the Steelers would have lost that game. They wouldn't have went to the Super Bowl that year. That's the year they went to the Super Bowl and played the Rams.
Okay.
I was screaming at, like, what the? Oh, but anyway, I won't get into that. But, again, yo, another coach, I don't know, kid. I really don't know. You know what I mean? Because it takes longevity. You know, you got to win. I don't want to say, like, a coach, a dude like Belichick. He's too old. But
right.
Belichick is an easy choice, though. You know what I mean? Because, you know, he won mad Super Bowls and he got, you know, Story with him or whatever. But then you want to throw in, you got to throw in a dude like Coughlin.
Right.
Can't front on him.
Right.
Can't front on him. You know, a dude like,
right.
to me, a dude who should be up there is a dude like Marvin Lewis. He's been coaching the Bengals
right.
for how many
right.
years? Over 10
right.
years.
Right.
Can't win. Can't win. If he had at least an AFC championship that he
right.
could, you know, fall back on, he'd be like, oh, okay.
But then he had
that
AFC. No, he didn't. Okay, he didn't have
the
AFC. He
would have
gone.
They were, but we had this conversation before, but they lost to San Diego this past
right.
season in the playoffs. Which, oh,
right.
I don't want to get
right.
into that either. But I promised myself I wasn't going to talk about no football today. But
right,
you got
right.
me. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Marvin Lewis could be up there if he was, you know, if he
and
won a little
Cincinnati,
bit more.
I think Cincinnati's doing him wrong because they only gave him that one-year extension.
What we just say, he's been there for 10 joints, yo.
Right.
He's been there for 10 joints.
Done.
And what? I mean, what has he really done? He's been
right.
there for 10 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you got to look at it from that perspective or whatever. But the name,
well,
you know,
had
a coach
that year, he had Carson Palmer, Chad Johnson. He had, I forgot, you know, he had that year that we played them. It was a pretty good team. It's just, I don't know.
Cincinnati just ain't ready. If they couldn't beat San Diego at home,
right.
in the cold, if you couldn't beat San Diego at home in the cold in the playoffs, man, what's the use?
He just
and I put all that on Andy Dalton, yo. That's straight Andy Dalton's game.
Thank you.
His game.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
Was straight
was
Andy Dalton's fault.
That
I watched
last
that
game
whole
season,
game.
They went up there and beat they went up and beat Baltimore. They're not Baltimore out of the playoffs.
Yeah, but I just feel like, you know, Marvin Lewis, who else? Maybe, I don't know, kid. Maybe it hasn't been long enough for me. You know what I mean? I would say Jeff Fisher, but he was, you know, he won his Super Bowl, you know what I mean, and did his thing and was in the Super Bowl against St. Louis when it was with Tennessee and they lost. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean...
So you, how do you rate Fisher? I like Fisher.
I like Jeff Fisher.
I do too.
I like him.
I like him.
He was on the 46 defense with the Bears, so you got to respect him.
Right. Because
yep.
I didn't even know that.
You got to respect Jeff Fisher. He was on that defense with Singletary and Wilbur Marshall and Refrigerator
you know,
Perry and all
I
that.
I did not even know. I mean, I didn't even know that somebody was talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff Fisher.
Wow.
Yep. And the 46 defense, it was named after somebody that was on that same Bears defense. Doug Fensick, he was number 46 on that Bears defense. They named that defense after him, the 46.
Okay.
But, yeah, so, you know, I mean, Jeff Fisher could be in the conversation. But, again, you know, you got to show some longevity with one squad like the other guys did. You know, Tom Landry was with the Cowboys forever. Chuck Noll was with the Steelers forever. You know what I mean? So that factors into it too. So
how do you rate Marty? What's his name? They were talking about him too. I can't think of Marty Schottenheimer.
Oh my goodness, Kia! I can tell you this. Marty Schottenheimer. Oh.
They were talking about him yesterday.
Oh,
yeah.
He used to coach the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
They were
Marty Schottenheimer. He would, you know, his teams would go like 12-4, 11-5. And they would get in the playoffs, and, you know, you got Ernest Byner fumbling at the goal line, or you got John Elway doing the drive. It was just some old unlucky stuff with Marty Schottenheimer. And even when he was coaching the San Diego Chargers. Even when Marty Schottenheimer was coaching the Chargers, it would always be some bad luck Barry stuff going on. But I respect Marty Schottenheimer,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? But he just, I don't know. I don't think that he would be one of those dudes that would be at the table or whatever. But I'm trying to think of somebody else while we
talk. They talked about him and they talked about Dan Reeves.
Dan Reeves.
Yeah, they talked about him.
Dan Reeves. Yeah, you know he lost more than he won because we all talk about those Super Bowls and they was getting blown out
right.
by the 49ers when he used to coach the
right.
Denver Broncos. You know what I mean? But Derrick Reeves is a name. He's on the same, you know, to me, the same level as Marty Schottenheimer. He got,
okay.
You know, he did his numbers finally. He finally got over the hump. But that don't ring no bells like a Chuck Knoll or
okay.
Tom Landry. That don't, you know, no. I mean, the only dude right now in our time, I would say, is Bill Parcells. That could really just
okay,
say
yeah,
automatic.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? No brainer. It's Bill Parcells. Even though he's been with mad squads, but he turned those squads into winners.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, if I had a gun to my head to say who, if it was out of anybody, I would have to say him. And then the next one, I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to throw Cowher in there for the state. I don't know. I couldn't really just name one, but Bill Parcells would be the first one to come off the top of my head. After further reviews in the building, man, GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports, holding me down. I'm the mayor, man, 8-10, 646-200-3838 is the mathematics. Shout-out to the listeners, man. Thank you for holding me down on a Tuesday night, man. I know it's mad hot. You know what I mean? Hope you got your water on or whatever you do to, you know, get wet or hydrated or whatever, because this is scorching, even though Kia said it ain't that hot out there. I don't know what she's on, but it's hot. Like
I love
senior
this
love daddy out this piece.
I love this weather.
I hear you.
It's nothing. I mean, you know, it's not. I don't like the humidity, but the humidity I can deal with. But
listen,
this
let me
right
ask
here.
You a question. Okay, would you sit out 9 innings in the 90-degree weather, like a seat at Yankee Stadium where the sun is just beaming on you for 9 innings?
Let me tell you something. If I can, well, last year, July. I had to go home. My mother had to go. We had to go home to, you know, sometimes you got to pick okra, pick whatever. If I can do that for 4 hours in 102-degree weather, I'm good.
You say you pick okra?
Pick okra and squash. Are you kidding me?
Listen,
yes,
man,
so,
we was chopping cotton. Don't get it twisted.
You
I understand.
Go home.
But,
you
yeah,
go
okay.
Home
so
and
I got you. But it's that how
it's
you
hot.
Just want to, you don't even want
Are
nobody to say nothing to you.
And that was last year. That was July past. Last year, July. I've got to pick an okra and squash at 102 degrees in South Carolina.
Say something to me, man. You might get elbowed, man. You know what I mean? But it's just hot for no
yeah.
reason. But,
yeah.
you know, people was crying about the snow a few weeks ago. So it is what it is, man. Shout out to the weather and all that good stuff, man. We're in the building. Anything else you want to say about Chuck Knoll?
You know, I'm reading up on the thing. I haven't finished reading a lot of stuff about him, but I wanted to ask you about that. Maybe because I didn't read it, the Tressel situation down in Ohio State.
The who?
Tressel.
Yeah. Okay. With the coach, is they still doing?
Yeah.
Still
the
going
coach
through
with
stuff
the situation with. You know, I'm just like I can't remember that, but somebody was talking about it, and I gotta say, I kind of like read it because I
oh, with the tattoos.
I drew a total blank about the
Clef. Yeah, with the tattoos, yeah. And basically what happened with that
okay.
was that they had, you know, they was giving away autographs for,
okay.
and training them for tattoos.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? That's just the gist of it, you know what I mean? And it got caught up into a whole bunch of stuff where basically they started telling on each other. So as the dominoes fell, it got into some, you know, now the recruiting scandal and the cheating in the classes. And so, you know, they had to do something in Ohio State, you know.
But
yeah,
I,
that's
I,
right. Blow the spot up. That's right. First 48
but,
out this piece.
It
but,
was,
yeah, that's
I
how it
came.
But you know what? Even before then, though, Kia, with Maurice Clarett.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
oh,
him?
I just read his book.
So even before that situation, it was a situation going on with Maurice Clarett. And I'm still mad at that because they beat us, they beat Miami in the championship game, and I'm mad because that wasn't no pass interference. But if you want to talk about that, 646-200-3838 is the math. How at you do? You know what I mean? I'm still upset about that. They jumped us on the national championship, the Miami Hurricanes. Shout out to Miami Hurricanes, man. But, yeah.
I was reading it.
That story's
like,
crazy.
Somebody was talking about it. I couldn't even have a conversation because I didn't clearly. They just like threw me a blank to even. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Ohio State. That's you know,
but
and they got Tressel out of there,
right? He's down in he's down at the University of Akron, Ohio.
Yeah, doing his thing. But I mean, you know,
he's repairing. Do you think? Okay, what's your take on him? Far any all this assessment of anything, his image. What do you think of him? What do you think of him? Minus all that other stuff.
Of Jim Tressel as a coach?
Yes.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah. You know, outside of all the other, you know, stuff going on, yeah, I like them. I respect them, you know what I mean? Because his, you know, his teams, you know, they won consistently, you know.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
they beat Miami.
I'm mad at him
about that. But you can't, you know, they beat Michigan a couple times or whatever. So,
oh, yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? So
you
got to respect
his
gangster. Yeah, no doubt. You got to respect this gangster, man. He did his numbers, man. So we're in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics. Yeah, we here, man. So we just chopping it up real quick, though. I got my man Slate in the building. I can't hear the bell, so I don't know if you hear or not. Slate, what's good, man?
What's going on, cousin?
Everything's everything, man. How you maintaining,
hey,
Samo?
You know I'm living. Ain't all right. Hey, came in. What's up, Kia? What's going on, girl?
I wanted you to chime in a little bit and say something about Chuck Noll, man.
Oh, man, you know me, that's sentimental for me. I think, you know, I'm crazy biased with that. So, you know, it was an all-time great coach. He did his first coach with four Super Bowls and all that.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second, Slater. I get it now. Okay, now you're using the bomb. Okay, I got you. Matt, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm good. Everything's everything. I got you, Rich. I got you. So now I gotta wait for the return of the bell. Somebody to kick out the bell. Aw, damn. Yo, hey, Matt, man, we in the building, man. Straight, man. Go ahead, finish your thought, man. I just want to bring Matt into the conversation.
I'm just saying, he was a great coach. I'm kind of biased being diehard Steeler and all, man. First coach to four Super Bowls and all that. You know, respect is due.
I hear you. Again, like me and Kia was talking, man, you know, that franchise has to really kind of be looked at as, you know, a kind of a model as far as coaches, because he asked about what coaches from this era, you know what I mean, could be considered, you know, highly respected, like, you know, Coach Noll, Coach Landry, you know what I mean, Don Shula, John Madden. So what coaches from this type of era would be or could be on that type of note? So I said, really, Mike Tomlin has to be looked at. You know what I mean? Because he's, you know, you're one coach removed from Chuck Noll. Because you guys had Chuck Noll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. So that talks about how you are as a franchise. You know what I mean? You can go up, down, whatever, whatever. You're going to stick it through. You know what I mean? And you got rings from all them dudes. And, mm-hmm. and trust me, I'm not trying to soften you up for September 28th. Don't worry about that.
Whatever.
Because Slate and Kia, I'm telling you, it's coming. Hard body karate. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We're going to do it.
With
you
all respect due to Chuck Noll and Rocky Blyer and Mel Blunt and Roy Jarella and all them dudes, all respect to them. But September 28th, nah, man. It's going down. Tampa Bay Buccaneers
respect,
all day.
Much respect to Lovey, but y'all not coming. Y'all not coming to Pittsburgh to win that game.
That's okay. Hey, Matt, what's good, man? We just talking about Chuck Noll, man. I know if you got anything you want to contribute on that, man, we're just going, you know, talking about, you know, kind of reminiscing and going down the line about
real,
that, man, if you wanted
quick,
to chime
man.
In on the conversation.
Yeah,
really
no doubt, man. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I just called in, Kia. You know I'm riding with you and Mayor. You know I love you, my brother. Keep
That's
up
what
the
it
good
is.
Work. I'm just in and out, bobbing and weaving. I just wanted to give a shout-out to all the people because I ain't been back in a minute. But, you know, y'all keep up the good work. I love you. And just because you don't hear my voice don't mean I ain't listening.
That's what it
y'all
is, man. Respect you, Paul.
All right,
I'll be easy. Respect you,
right.
Paul, all day.
Yes,
That's what
sir.
It is. Yeah, that's my man, Straight, on the check-in now with Mob in the building. You're listening to GQ Powers Radio, a.k.a. GQ Powers Sports. They kidnapped the bell, y'all. We got to get into that later on next hour. They kidnapped the bell. I don't know, man. Miss Lavina ain't tell me nothing about it. The bell is gone. My beloved bell is out of here. Oh, yeah, okay. Rich Money said they got a ransom note for the bell. All right, we're going to get into that. Rich Money, they got a ransom note for the bell, man. I need some help with that, man. I need to get my bell back, baby. Matt, what's good, man? Thanks for calling the Biggest Show, my G.
Hey, no problem, man. You know, I'm just listening. Obviously, you know, that talking about Chuck Noll, that kind of goes back, and I'm not, you know, super expert on, you know, coaches that have, you know, gone back. But, you know, watching him obviously winning 4 Super Bowls in 23 seasons, being a kick-ass coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I'm sitting back and I'm taking notes. As you know, obviously we had a guest on the show yesterday, so I feel like I'm just a guest listening. And obviously if there's a topic, I'll definitely contribute. But you got some good stuff, man. I'm just chilling right now.
Appreciate you, man. You know what I mean? We try. We try to do a little bit, man. We don't wear no suits and ties over here, you know what I'm saying? But we try to get down a little bit, man, and really, really talk about things to something, because this is something that we love, man. So we can have intelligent conversation, and we might not agree all the time, and that's what makes it lovely. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we all like the same thing. It'd be kind of like dead boring. Who wants that? You know what I mean? We need some drama on GQ Palace Radio, man, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. So it goes down, man, 8 to 10, man, every Tuesday night, man. You're more than welcome to touch base anytime, man. You know what I mean? It's all good, man. So anything else you want to touch base on? We talked about the finals, man, because, you know, we just finally getting around to that, man. We talked about the NBA finals. You want to give any last words on that, or, you know, where are you at with that?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, I know that me and you obviously discussed it and chopped it up yesterday, but, you know, we're talking about the NBA finals. We obviously know that LeBron can't do it by himself. You know, he can't be Superman. He can put up these fantastic numbers, but if role players like Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade are not putting up, you know, obviously great performances as well and are hitting at least 20 points each, you know, it's not going to work out. The reason that the Spurs are so good is just if you look at it, four of their 5 players on the field started, of their starters, so obviously Kawhi Leonard, Parker, Danny Green, and, you know, I'll say Boris Diaw, they're four guys who can pass the ball as good as anybody else, you know what I mean? And obviously they facilitate so well. They're not selfish. Their unselfishness is unbelievable. And their ball movement is just something we haven't seen. They play this fundamental, boring style.
That's the word.
Football.
Yep, that's it.
You know, it's so boring, but it works so well. They're not going for SC top 10 plays of the year, you know what I mean? They're going for their open layup, you know, down low, balling up players that they need to be balled up. And, I mean, obviously, Boris Diaw or Patty Mills, for example, right, role player, coming up from that, goes 5 for 8 from three-pointers. Danny Green has 0 points, but if Patty Mills steps up and takes his place, it doesn't matter. Danny Green, I mean, obviously, Tim Duncan does his thing. Tony Parker does his thing. Ginobili come off the bench at his 19 points. I mean, it's unbelievable how good the role players are. I mean, obviously, the Spurs swept the floor with the Miami Heat. Who would have thought that they go to Miami and just blew them out? I mean, they didn't beat them by two points or 3 points. They absolutely annihilated them by an average of, like, 14 points per game. So, you know what I mean? So, it's like, who would have thought that the Miami, I guess they were so bad. I mean, obviously, I guess they were just benefiting from playing crappy teams. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, you know, I kind of, you know, agree with, you know, everything that you said, man, but I think that a lot of stuff went into the series where San Antonio wasn't going to be denied, man, you know what I mean? And, you know, we discussed it, and you said the key word was fundamentals, man. You know what I mean? A lot of people say the San Antonio Spurs are boring because they don't, you know, run up and down and talk about, look at me, you know what I mean? They, from,
right.
You know, the starting five to the 12th man. You know what I mean? They play fundamental basketball, and that's why, you know, every year in the Tim Duncan era, they won 50 games, except for the year that was the lockout, they won 37. You know what I mean? So, excuse me, I just think that, you know, fundamentals and the slow pace is going to get you all the time. You know what I mean? You can run up on there talking that rah-rah stuff, but then you're going to end up at the end of the day sitting at the end of the bench crying. You know what I mean? So, again, you know, I just want to get your thoughts on that. At the end of the day, what do you think is going to be, you know, how do you think the Heat are going to look come opening night of 2014-15 season?
Well, obviously, I mean, if you look at the Miami Heat, they're playing the Eastern Conference, which we saw was clearly the weaker conference this year. But if you look at teams like Washington, who, you know, look good, you know what I mean? And teams like
watch out for them.
You Washington, right, and obviously the Pacers, who, you know, even though they're, you know, emotional train wreck in the playoffs, you know, playing really inconsistent basketball, they're still a good team. Because obviously the thing is, in the NBA, you're going to play all different caliber of teams. You're going to play teams of caliber that are really good and teams that are lower caliber. So if you play the Milwaukee Bucks or the Utah Jazz, or the younger rookies, you're obviously going to get you're going to destroy them. But when it comes time to play teams like the Clippers or the Thunder, this is where you really need to step up, and this just shows that, you know, the Miami Heat really benefited. They played the Bobcats in the playoffs. Then they moved on and played the Nets, who had really older players who were never
they
really
that. They gave James away.
Mm-hmm. Right, they gave James away, right. And then you ended up playing the Pacers, who we saw right. really couldn't do anything. And obviously in the playoffs, it's a whole new atmosphere. But mm-hmm. if you look, I feel like it's not right to judge them, you know, in their prior series. If you look at them, they're like, oh, Dwayne Wade's putting up 22 points. Yeah, you're putting up 22 points against Bobcats.
Against
know?
Them,
so,
right. It's going to be a whole different scenario in the next series.
And obviously, it looks like the Miami Heat this series look like the kind of 07 Cavaliers, you know, where LeBron James is on there. Because it was just LeBron James. It was really no one else. I mean, it's unbelievable how little help he got. And it's kind of partially on LeBron James' fault, too. Because if you look at it, I feel like it's James and Spoelstra's fault. Eric Spoelstra did not, you know, open up his eyes. And he played Mario Chalmers when he was struggling, right? When he's struggling, put him on the bench, maybe play a Shane Battier, James Jones, you know, Shane Battier and James Jones. I mean, obviously the Heat have players that can score, but I mean, obviously if you don't play them and you favor the big three, it's not going to be fair. And I feel like LeBron James overshadowed the talent that the Heat have. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
And that's the perfect reason why I think he should stay in Miami, because, you know, wherever he goes, wherever he takes his talents to, whatever, he's going to become the story. Whoever used
right.
to be
yeah,
the story is going to be
that.
Just he's going to be second fiddle now. Then they're going to have the
right.
new
yeah,
story
just,
about, well, is it LeBron's team or is it so-and-so's team? So we got to go
think
to that again. So I think
wait
his,
a minute,
that
what did
out
he just
is
say?
Go ahead, Kia.
What did he just say? He said something about overshadow. Say that again,
yeah.
He said that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, like LeBron James, right? When he's playing in the Miami Heat, if he's going 35, 40 points a game, right, he overshadows the rest of the team. So it doesn't look like if Wade gets 9
okay,
points.
Yep. All right. I agree. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is, like, obviously that's the same room when Chris Bosh was on the Raptors. He was beasting it. He was that star
yep.
player.
Chris Bosh, when he was on the Raptors, he was the number one option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. And then Dwayne Wade, when he was on the
mm-hmm.
team without these two other guys, he was the
yep.
number one option, you know? So it's like it's like you look at it like kind of like a USA national team, right? You have all these players who don't know how to gel. All these guys are so used to being the stars of their own
mm-hmm,
team,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, when you get a team like the Spurs, who may not have the most, you know, iconic names, obviously they have great names like Duncan Parker and Ginobili.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, those guys are iconic. But you have players like Boris Diaw, Patty Mills, who really aren't that well-known, who can gel and play like a team. I'd take teamwork over individual basketball any day of the week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How you think the Yankees won all the World Series? Yep. Team.
Exactly.
Man. Team.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I agree with that.
And let's give Greg Popovich the credit he deserves.
He deserves to. That's right. Shout out to Greg Popovich. I like his style, man, especially when he does his interviews, man. He be like, man, listen.
He understands the game so well.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, the reason Popovich is so good is because, like, since the Spurs are always leading, you know, we've never really needed to see them come behind from adversity. Obviously, the only time I've really ever seen the Spurs lose or be trailed in a series was the 2013 NBA Finals, obviously, when they lost in 7. But let's keep things in perspective. They were up 3-2, and then, you know, with 6 seconds left, a ball, Chris Bosh was in.
But what about what happened against the Thunder 2 years ago? That's one that killed me about San Antonio.
When
they played the Thunder 2 years ago, they was up on them and said the Thunder just came in and just wiped the floor with them. That I didn't see that coming for the Spurs. You know what I mean? But they had their moments. You know what I'm saying? But again, you got to respect them, man. I don't think they were going to be denied this season, regardless of what Miami Heat team they were facing. I don't think that. And again, like we talked about, man, last night.
Right.
Yo, the bottom line to me, in my opinion,
right.
is that Miami, if you watch their games, you know, teams let Miami get off the hook. You know what I mean? For example, I say how last year, we talked about this before, game 6 when Duncan missed the bunny in front of the rim. They missed the free throws. Even this year in the playoffs against the Nets should have won at least 2 of them games. They gave it away not knowing how to dribble, not knowing what to do at the end of the game. They gave those games away. So Miami, you know, snuck away with a lot of wins. They didn't do that in this series against the Spurs. It wasn't happening. You know what I mean? And even in game 5, when it was 22-5, 22-6 in the first quarter, I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried because LeBron was making all these faces and, like, it was really going, you know, trying to, you know, do, like, they was really doing a number on San Antonio. I wasn't worried at all because, as we all know, Matt and Kia and all my listeners out there, after further review on GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports, that basketball is a game of runs. you do
well,
you,
I mean,
then I'm going to do me.
Hey, Chris, to your point, man, I mean, obviously, when the Spurs, I mean, obviously, when this, the Miami Heat scored 29 points combined
right.
in, the second in the second and third quarter, and the Heat went on a 50-29 run or something, obviously, you're not going to be worried, right? The Spurs are so veteran, and they're so good. Obviously, maybe their age and their experience doesn't get them off to the great starts in Game 5, but they did in Games 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know what I mean? So, It was one game. I mean, obviously, let's keep this in perspective. They won the finals. They were the better team.
They were the better team. That's all you can say. They were the better team. It's, you know, the Miami Heat fans have a lot of, you know, these creative ways to try to make you feel like, you know, the Spurs are less than. Nah, you just got beat. Face facts.
Hey, Chris, you said it perfectly. I hate the Miami Heat fans. Bandwagon. Think their team is so much better than what they are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you're going to be a fan of a team, stay with it. I'm an Eagle fan, right? So in 2011, we obviously made it to the divisional round of the playoffs and then lost to the Packers. In 2012, we went 4-12. I'm not going and being a Dallas Cowboy fan, or I'm not going to being a freaking Patriot fan. I'm a
Right, right, right,
exactly.
right.
And then in 2013, we made it back. Obviously, the Miami Heat, obviously in Game 3 and 4, they had fans leave early. I mean, obviously, six through a
You can't respect
team.
That, yo. You can't respect
exactly.
that.
It's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Not,
it's kind of like... You know, when it's all good, you know, you're there and you rah, this and that. And then as soon as a little adversity, everybody's running for the parking lot. You know what I mean? And that doesn't really show that you got faith in your team and you're just there for the ride. And that's why Miami Heat, their fans and anybody connected with them is catching the business right now. Because all you was concerned about was winning. You was throwing that in everybody's face. Like I said to somebody yesterday, your meal ticket came up short. Now you don't got nothing to do. You don't know what to do now. Or you were ready to talk about how LeBron is this and LeBron is that. LeBron ain't nothing. He showed his true colors in that series right there. That's who you hang your hat on? That's your man? Okay. Look at your man.
Hey, and also, I mean, if you think about it, when the Spurs are down, they have three different guys. They have so many different guys that they can go to. When the Miami Heat are down, who are you going to go to? Oh, LeBron James. And guess what? If LeBron James is not on, sorry, Heat fans, you're going to lose. If not, the San Antonio Spurs aren't on, how about you hit Danny Green? How about you hit Matty Mills? How about you hit Manu Ginobili? How about you hit Tony Parker? Tim Duncan? You can hit every guy because they're unselfish. The Miami
Tiago Splitter was doing his numbers, yo. Stop playing, you know what I mean? And shout out again, like I said last night, super extra strength shout-out to the homie Manu Ginobili, who boofed it on Chris Bosh. Boofed it. Left-handed style.
Chris,
came down the lane and gave him the business. Boom.
Chris, the Spurs, they set their each player has a certain role, and they each gel in that certain role. They're not trying to do too much. They're not trying to, you know, help out when they're not needed to help out. These players are experienced veteran players. They're going to guard who they need to guard, play defense on who they need to play defense on, and shoot when they need to shoot. They're not going to take stupid shots that don't need to be taken. As I said earlier on yesterday's show, when me and Chris were doing on the Parley Sonny Cruz show, you know, by the way, I'm just saying, like, the reason they shoot so high field goal percentages is because the shots they take are so high.
High percentage shots.
High quality.
Yep. That's
what
right.
I'm saying.
Let me ask a question. He just said about the Spurs. Do you think that's what a lot of teams lacking when they need to like stay focused and making their shots instead of stop trying to do extra stuff? And the Spurs does it well.
Well, yeah,
and a lot
the reason,
of teams
I mean,
need to focus on that.
I'll tell you why. You know why? Because when teams are down and they're down and they feel desperate, they're going to start taking shots that, you know, are not really typical shots they need to take, right? So obviously when a team's down by 7 with 2 minutes left, are they going to be taking shots and using up the whole, you know, shot clock? No. They're going to be taking shots and forcing it up, shots that really don't need to be forced up. That's why when the Spurs are always up in the fourth quarter, they're always chilling and relaxing. They don't need to stress out, you know what I mean? So that's why, you know what I mean? They're so good. That's why, and they're such veterans that they capitalize on, you know, all your turnover mistakes. So if you look at the turnover numbers, for example, the Miami Heat, you know, obviously, I think in game 2 or 3, they had 22 turnovers. 12 were forced by by Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, and then they scored 24 or 26 points off those turnovers. So they're such veterans. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you attribute Roy Hibbert against the Heat in this playoff?
Well, I don't really think so. I think Roy Hibbert's 7 feet tall, so if you can't give him the ball under the net and to make it, he sucks. And I really don't know how to attribute that to, because I don't think Chris Bosh is a legit center. Obviously, Rashard Lewis cannot follow him up. I think it was all mental for Roy Hibbert. I think it was just all mental. But obviously, when you get a zero, in game one, in your home fans, I mean, it's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, how do you get a zero against the Washington Wizards? Explain that. Are they that good? No, they're not
that good. Don't sleep on the Wizards. Don't sleep on them. They won free agent away, yo, from being a factor, yo. Don't sleep on the Wizards. Huh?
You said don't sleep on Toronto.
I said, yeah, and look what Toronto did. They surprised me.
Yeah, you were right. You were right.
I said, look at Toronto. And this was after they got rid of Rudy Gay. So, you know, I said, well, I just like, I like DeMar DeRozan. I liked his game. I just think that they were going to be able to take advantage of what the Knicks didn't take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what
I mean? A week Eastern Conference. A week, every week. Huh?
What about Terrence Ross?
Yeah, Terrence Ross, I mean, they had a squad. I even liked the coach, Dwayne Casey. I liked how he, did his thing. You know what I mean? So,
the thing about the Raptors, their fans are also into it. They're such loyal fans. Did you see? Yeah, when they're playing in the Air Canada Center, I mean, they take so much pride in their team, right? But with Terrence Ross, DeMar DeRozan, his versatility, you know, playing on both sides of the court, his athleticism. Lowry, do not sleep on the Raptors. Trust me,
I said that before the season started to a few
people.
Yeah,
you called it.
And they wanted to prescribe me some medication. They thought I was bugging. They thought I was sniffing shoe polish or something. I said, watch the Raptors, man. I just watch them. I just had a funny feeling. You know what I mean? Because, I'm a Knicks fan, hard body karate, man. But I'm one of those realistic Knicks fans. If I don't see it, I'm not going to call it. You know what I mean? But I just, it is what it is with them. But, again, just watch out for the Wizards, man. I think they're one free agent away from really making some noise. Because John Wall and my man came into hit their own, you know what I mean? Bradley Beal. I couldn't think of the name for nothing. Bradley Beal came into his own this year, you know what I mean? Nene, you know what I mean? They really, and shout out to Randy Whitman. He did his numbers too. And he got, he should have got some consideration for Coach of the Year and all that, but
if you look at I didn't mean to cut you off. If you look at the, Chicago Bulls too, DJ Augustine, Carlos Boozer, Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah, right? I think if Derrick Rose gets healthy, I think all these guys, I don't think I named any player other than Joakim Noah, who's a superstar, but DJ Augustine, Carlos Boozer, and Taj Gibson, and especially Kurt Heinrich, they all gel the team, and they kind of remind me of the Spurs in a way. Not one player is that good. Joakim Noah, kind of the Tim Duncan aspect, right? He plays down low. He plays an aggressive style of basketball. He can pass as good as anybody else, and the role players around him all contribute. That's why the Chicago Bulls are so good. Obviously, they got outplayed by a better team, the Washington Wizards, in the first round. But still, obviously, both of those teams, one player does not have to be a superstar, unlike the, Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, LeBron James' antics worked for them until they found their match, until they played a better team. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, man. It makes total sense,
man.
And again, they play, better than expected without Derrick Rose, man. So,
yeah.
Again, it just goes to show, man, if you play team ball and you really believe in the team concept, that's going to, shine over the me, the 1+4 aspect of it, you know what I mean?
Don't sleep on the Milwaukee Bucks. 15-67, those numbers are unbelievable. A 183 winning percentage. Let me tell you, they're going to be up and coming in the next freaking never, dude. They are so bad.
I'm asleep on them, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to sleep on Milwaukee right quick, man, until they decide on really being serious about, about winning. Again, they got the new owners in that situation right there. But, they got a team. But until you, get out of that, that situation, that losing mental, I can't mess with you.
Right.
I can't mess with you. Another team that's got a losing mental, even though they try, and when they're in the playoffs, they represent the Atlanta Hawks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're always in a game seven somewhere. When it gets to them, they're always playing somebody in a game seven, and we don't never consider the Atlanta Hawks.
That year that they went to those game seven, that year, was it the 2010 season when they had that in that playoff?
Mm-hmm.
They had a great playoff run, the Hawks did.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a lot of teams that, you know, have, you know, great runs and things of that nature, but when it comes down to winning, you know what I mean, on a consistent basis, like you said, it's got to be about team, man. Definitely got to be about team. Yo, you're listening to After Further Review, man, on GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. I got my man Matt in the building with me, Matt Abrams holding it down. I got Key in the building with me. I got Matt listeners in the building. I got my man Rich Money. He's trying to find out. He's getting in touch with some authorities right now about our missing bell. Somebody left a ransom note on the steps. Miss Lavina right now, she's real worried about the bell right now. The bell is missing in action. So if you're seeing the bell out there in the block, man, holler at us at GQ Palace. We got our bell.
Let me
throw
this at you
because
you were talking about baseball.
Y'all
know how you're a
big baseball. Yeah. Let's get it.
I heard this statement today. Is baseball becoming more of a business than sports?
They're all businesses at this point.
Yeah. They were talking about that. I was reading that article about, you know, the same thing.
Yeah.
How, you know, they were putting up football. Should football stop being a nonprofit? You know, it was like some great articles. Somebody, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, it's definitely about money. It's about the money move. You know, he has the goal, makes the rules and all that. And I think baseball, as far as, you know, distributing the wealth, I think they were the ones that kind of like, I don't want to say bit themselves in the foot, Matt. I just want to say, you know, making everything equal, where they have, you know, everybody, you know, they, you know, the TV money. Then, you know, you have the team paying the luxury tax. It goes to the other teams in the league and all that. So actually, the Yankees helping the Pirates to get better, because you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, that's business 101 right there for you right there. You know what I'm saying? But again, for me, it kind of takes away from the fun in the game for me.
But they were talking about the business aspect of it. It's like, you know, because I know how big you are with baseball.
Yeah,
it's taking something away from it.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, you know, as you said, remember on the Sonny Cruz show, we were talking about 2 weeks ago or something. You're like, Toronto's still up there, man. They're about 4.5 games up on the Yankees. Let me tell you, you're a good team, so do not sleep on them. As you said, with Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, all these, Mark Burley. I mean, geez, what's Mark Burley's record now? Like 11-1, 12-1?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's probably going to start an All-Star game.
Yeah, oh, he's 10-3. Okay, 10-3, not bad.
So that means he lost his last two starts. Because he was 10-1.
Right, he was, right. And then
he did lose it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hey, also, what about the Kansas City Royals? I mean, how
you
about
gotta
them?
You got to talk to Kia about the Royals.
Are you a Royal fan?
She picked the Royals, so you got to talk to her about the Royals.
I don't know what's going on with them.
They're half a game back against Detroit. They have more wins. They're 37-32. Detroit's 36-30. Obviously, James Shields is having a great
and
the
kid, they won 8 in a row.
I know. And I did.
What's up? If Mike Moustakas would hit a little bit, if Moustakas,
well,
you know, the third baseman for the Royals, if he hit a little bit, the Royals would probably be in first place.
What's his average? What he's batting? I don't see. What is he batting?
I don't know what
he's
batting.
Oh, man, let me see.
Did
they just bring him? Hey, Matt, did they just bring him up or did they just send him down? Moustakas. It was a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last week.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They got him on a depth chart. I remember seeing something about him being sent up or sent down. Kia, he's hitting 177.
Wow.
7 home runs, 26 RBIs. If he hit just a little bit, man, and Kia, you was on point so far. You said the Kansas City Royals. I was like, yeah, all right.
I just saw something about them. When I picked the Kansas City Royals, you were saying something. I said, I'm going with the Royals.
I picked the Indians, Matt, to win to win the Central, and Kia picked the Kansas City Royals. Even after they lost Irvin Santana, you know what I mean? They got Omar Infante in free agency. You know, it just took everybody on their squad needed to hit. And if Mike Moustakas hit a little bit more, and Escobar is doing his numbers at shortstop playing defense, Alex Gordon is finally hitting. You know what I mean? And they're getting numbers from the pitching. So, like you said, Matt, you know, you got to watch out for the Royals. And watch out. What's up with the Tigers? How come we can't get no Tiger fans to call, Kia? The Tiger fans used to crush it.
They scared.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
They scared about right now. They ain't calling.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
So also, what I know when I'm watching the Tigers, what about, you know, Verlander, 6-7, Max Scherzer?
Wow.
I mean, that's supposed to be the duo. You know, that's
yep.
supposed to be
wow.
the
this
duo.
Is, wow.
To
no wonder
duo-ing.
Max Scherzer waited to take that money.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, looking at him, I mean, obviously they don't have terrible numbers batting. Batting percentage or slugging percentage is third overall with a .435. Batting average is second overall with a .275. But then let's switch it to pitching, right? .411 ERA, 25th overall. Quality
Ooh.
Starts 37, 13th. And what about their whip? 20th overall with a .134. So let me tell you that, you know, obviously with Joe Nathan, obviously blowing saves like left and right.
And
Matt
Phil
Scherzer,
Coke and Jabba Chamberlain
Phil
not
Coke.
Helping.
Oh, yeah, they talk about the bullpen.
Exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. So obviously I don't know, you know, the Tigers, I mean, obviously they're leading by half a game, but they're on thin ice right now. But obviously, you know, the Oakland A's doing their thing with Sonny Gray, Yoenis Cespedes, Josh Donaldson, all these guys are just unbelievable against the A's. And they play in a pretty competitive, I would say, division. I mean, the A's was a 4.5 back, but it's still early. Obviously, Seattle, I mean, obviously, then we have Texas way down there, and then Houston, who's nothing else. But what about Chris, I want to get your thoughts. What about the NL East? You have the Atlanta and then Washington half a game back, Miami one game back. I mean, what is this? These three teams. Who do you got?
That's gonna shake itself out, man. As we get along, we move into the dog days of July and August.
Okay.
I like Washington. Miami's gonna falter down the stretch. Jose Fernandez is a big loss for them. I'm not worried about the back of the division with the Mets and the Phillies. It's gonna be a race, man. Atlanta and Washington. I watched a couple of Atlanta Braves games, you know, lately, you know, recently, like, over the past couple of days. And you know who's turned into a bum?
Who?
B.J. Upton. B.J.
Yeah.
Upton can – B.J. And they were saying this about him. He plays a terrible center field, you know what I mean? And his bat is sometimey. And the Atlanta Braves
– I don't think he's turning into a bum, but I did
think
he's B.J.
Upton is a bum. I said,
look
here. I watched him play two balls in center field in two separate games. He let one get in front of him. The ball bounced past him in center field. Then
know,
he made
I
another
know,
error.
I don't know.
B.J. Upton, he hasn't been to Tampa Bay B.J. Upton since he got to Atlanta. And that's the B.J. Upton they want. The Tampa Bay B.J. Upton.
I guess so,
wait.
I don't give him no bump.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, he's teetering on bump status. B.J.
Wait, I mean the only reason I would say the Atlanta Braves are first place in the NL East. I mean, obviously, I'm looking right now at their batting, right? 28th overall in runs with .251. Good. 23rd overall with a .244 batting average. 25th overall with an on-base percentage with a .306, right? But then you go to pitching, right? Let's look. ERA, 5th overall, .332. I mean, who's that guy? Tayron, right? Quality starts, 1st overall with .48. Their whip's 10th. So, obviously, their pitching is worse.
Tell them what Tim Hudson record is.
Oh, all right. Let me check that
out.
Yeah,
Tim Hudson. They got Tim Hudson from the Giants, and I think he's got 10 wins.
Right. All right.
You know what I mean? So,
you
know, like you said, the Braves are doing their numbers, and it's always been the pitching with the Braves. Always.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like you said, that you know the batting average .244. We need to do better with that offensively. And I blame a lot. I seen Freddie Freeman hit. I seen Jason Hayward hit. You know what I mean? I see Evan Gattis hit. I see Andrelton Simmons hit, but I seen Justin Upton hit. I haven't seen B.J. Upton hit. I've seen B.J. Upton make mad errors in center field. He's a liability out there, and I think if B.J. Upton, you know, played up to the, you know, his potential, and, you know, the Braves would be killing things right now in the National League East. You know, and with the Nationals, you know, they moved Ryan Zimmerman over to first base. I guess they trying to get Adam LaRoche out of town. You know, and Strasburg has definitely been pitching better, even though Gio Gonzalez is hurt. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a race down to the end, I think. And I think whoever wants it more, both of those teams are playoff teams, if you ask me.
Well, I think
Atlanta and Washington are both going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously, I mean, looking down as well. I mean, I'm seeing Milwaukee do his thing in the NL Central. Obviously, I'm not going to lie. Obviously, looking at what Pittsburgh did and then having a disappointing season this year, obviously, with a game below .500.
Yeah.
And then Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, I really did think Cincinnati has the team. Obviously, with Johnny Cueto, right, watching him pitch. But, I mean, obviously, their batting is just terrible. 29th overall in the runs, 24th
mm-hmm.
batting average, 27th on base. And their pitching, yeah, it's good. But, obviously, the offense is going to be needed more. Obviously, Simon. I mean, I don't know who the hell this Dusty
Baker knew what he was talking about.
Oh, exactly. You know.
You know what I mean? With that team that they have in Cincinnati, they should be always in contention in the Central, man. Votto, you know what I mean? Brandon Phillips, come on, man. They got a squad, and they don't do nothing with it. A lot of teams are squandering away. And like you mentioned about the Pirates, I just said earlier before the season started, I thought the Pirates were going to not be as good as they were last year because they lost A.J. Burnett. I think A.J. Burnett was in the perfect situation in Pittsburgh. Kind of like
right,
being anonymous.
You.
He didn't have a lot of pressure on him, you know what I mean? He won. He had a nice season last year, and then he ran away to Philadelphia. Now look at him.
But
you know what I mean?
That,
so,
man.
You know, and even when the Pirates called up the kid Polanco, because Neil Walker's on the DL, you know what I mean? And they were waiting so long to call him up, but that was another business move, Kia, as we get back to your business conversation. You know, even calling players up because, they don't want them to have too much time under them where they have to pay them. You know what I mean? So it's always a business move. Always. It's always a business move right there. Matt, what's your opinion right now? You asked me about the East and the National League. I'm going to ask your opinion about really what you think is going to pop off in the National League West. You think San Francisco is going to, you know, be there? You think the Dodgers are going to, you know, eventually get hot? And are the Rockies still a factor?
Well, I mean, I think the Rockies, I'm checking them out right now. Obviously, when I'm looking at the NL West, obviously a six-game lead over the Dodgers. I mean, the Rockies, they're not terrible. I mean, they're 6-4 in the last 10 games. The Dodgers are 6-4, and the Giants are 4-6. You know, they lost three in a row. So this is a chance, really, for these for the Dodgers and Rockies to really step up, you know what I mean? And in theory, while watching San Francisco, I think, I mean, I'm not sure if you're in the trends, Chris, or, you know, Kia, but, you know, looking at it, in 2010, they won the World Series. 2011, they played bad. 2012, they won the World Series. 2013, they played bad. This is 2014. Is this their year again? Right. If you think about it, and they're, I mean, their pitching is unbelievable. Fourth overall in ERA, third in WHIP, 11th in quality starts, and their batting's not bad either. Ninth overall in slugging percentage, ninth in runs. Obviously 17th in batting average. But I mean, I think Michael Morse is doing his thing. Angel Pagan's doing his thing. Hunter Pence is doing his thing. You know, Tim Hudson, obviously.
Buster Posey.
Yeah,
Brandon Crawford's having a good year at shortstop.
Madison Bumgarner,
Kane. I mean, you know, the Giants, Giants are going to be the Giants. Because, again, I have to respect who their manager is. And I said it on earlier shows. I like catchers who, you know, a lot of catchers do good as managers. You know, Bob Brindley, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I respect them because they know the game. You know, he's always going to have a good pitching staff. The hitting's going to come along. Mike Morse is doing his thing. Hunter Pence, you know what I mean? And they just have to stay hot. But real quick, your opinion, man. The All-Star game is coming up real quick. I'm not doing my picks until next week, man. Who's your National League All-Star catcher? Buster Posey or Yadier Molina?
Got to be Buster Posey. He's playing too. Mm-hmm. He's playing too well. And I think Yadier is obviously he's up there every year. But I think Buster Posey. I'm checking him out right now. But
he's
unbelievable. He's a good defensive catcher as well. He's a good offensive catcher, and just I mean, I don't really know what to say.
I just think that's going to be one of the closest votes for the National League. The catcher, I think that's a real competition. You can't really lose either way. Either you're gonna go with the offense with Buster Posey, or you're gonna go with Yadier Molina's an offensive threat too. But Yadier, I never seen Buster Posey pick off two people at first base in the same game.
Obviously, with Buster Posey doing his thing offensively, right, with 9 home runs, 33 RBIs, and batting .274. I mean, he's batting higher than a lot. I think the whole team average. I mean, obviously the team average. I mean, he's batting. You know, he's really batting good. He's come to his own. He's a really good defensive catcher.
I like Buster Posey.
And I like, that's what I'm saying. So I don't, I mean, obviously I like Yadier. Obviously he does his thing too. And he's, you know, he's obviously, I mean, in the end of his career, I don't know if you think he's going to be a Hall of Fame catcher, but I mean, who knows, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think he would have to get heavy consideration at this point in the game, you know what I mean? Even, you know, you have to look at him as being the best out of the Molina brothers, man. You know?
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, Jose, Benji, and Yadier, he's the best. He's definitely the best, you know? So, again, but I think that's going to be a close race. I said earlier in the show, man, I mean, as far as the American League, I would like to see Jeter and Cano play, you know, second base and shortstop one more time in the All-Star
Tanaka,
game. I think that would be cool.
Tanaka may start.
Yeah. Huh?
Tanaka may start.
I would like to see Tanaka start the All-Star game.
I would love to see that, too.
I would like to see Tanaka, because he deserves it at this point.
Yeah.
Burley, you know, he's lost his last two starts, so you got to put him back up in the conversation. What do you think about Sonny Gray?
Sonny Gray's always a threat, too, but I think, I've been watching the A's play as I should have been. I mean, I think, what is he, Sonny Gray 6-3? And if you, what is Tanaka's record, like 11 and something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, watching Tanaka play, he has such dirty stuff, and, you know, playing to his own. He also gets a lot of the offensive help, too, you know, so it's, I mean.
I think they would want to see that, how he would fare against those National League bats, man. I think, you put your Buster Posey's, your Andrew McCutcheon's, your Votto's, your Yasiel Puig's, your Tulowitzki's, you know what I mean, your Bryce Harper's. You know, your Freddie Freeman's and all that. But I think they would want to see how those guys would fare against Tanaka, man. You know what I mean? I would like to see it myself, you know?
That's going to be interesting. I think he should start, but it's going to be very interesting to see if he does. And that I agree with that, with Cano and Jeter. I would love to see that, too.
Yeah, I think.
One last stand.
Yeah, I would like to see Cano and Jeter. I mean, but I was saying earlier in the show, they got to set the second baseman for the American League that's doing his numbers. Brian Dozier for the Minnesota Twins. So he got a built-in advantage because the game is going to be in Minnesota. You know, I know Cano is going to probably start. And I think Jeter is going to probably start, too. So I think we will see, you know, Cano and Jeter play, you know, together in the All-Star game. But that kid, Brian Dozier, and there's another kid, Matt, at second baseman for the American League, Jason Kipnis, plays for Cleveland Indians. You know what I mean? He's another one that does numbers that I like. But I'm gonna have my all star picks are gonna be next week. But definitely Cano and Jeter. I would like to see them rock out one more time, man, at second base and shortstop. So Matt, anything you'd like to say, man, to add in to the World Cup or anything like that? Because we're about to get ready to get out of here in a few minutes, man. So we're gonna try to wrap this up in a little neat little package. Anything you want to touch on in the world of sports, man? Because we've been all over the place today, man. So
we're going to
rock out and rock these last 20 minutes out like we know we do.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, watching, obviously, in the World Cup today, Belgium, Algeria. It's interesting. Obviously, Algeria came out to a 1-0 lead. But the subs that really have been, you know, the talk of the World Cup, two of the subs scored two goals for Belgium, right? So they ended up winning 2-1. And then if you look at Brazil, Mexico had a game plan. Obviously, Brazil was real heavily favored. Obviously, their home crowd, they seem to be a better team. And Mexico was, you know, obviously, they obviously have all these guys who, I guess, gelled as a team. They played aggressive.
Hold that thought, man. Once again, man, this is GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. If you haven't heard, man, we got an APB out on the boxing bell. Bell is missing the action. Whoever has our bell, we would like you to return it. You can return it to Miss Lavina at gmail.com and let her know where it's at, where we can pick up our bell and it can be returned home safe and sound. But until we make that happen, Hollywood, what's good, man? Welcome to the biggest show, man. What's going on?
Bro, you got a lot of problems going on in your life, man.
They kidnapped my bell, man. My boxing bell is missing in action. I need that, man.
Yeah, bro, you're going to be
We got a ransom note, man. Somebody kidnapped the bell, man, so it's a serious thing, Aguan.
Might have been your boy Khalid Abilabib. You never know.
It might have been him, man. We was talking about him too much, man. What's good, Hollywood?
Hey, listen, bro, before I go any further here, I would like to personally come on the air here and apologize for my comments last week. My asinine comment last week about Mr. Derek Jeter being done. Mr. Jeter is far from being done. I just want to go out on the record and say, I am sorry, Derek Jeter.
I didn't hear you, man. What you say? Can you say that again?
I am sorry for saying Mr. Derek Jeter.
I'm losing, my hearing is not so good, man. I'm a man of a certain age. Can you say that one more time? A little bit louder.
I am sorry for saying Derek Cornelius Igabakis from Kalamazoo, Michigan, Jeter is done.
Don't get it twisted, man. It's Derek Sanderson Jeter, man.
I know
get it right.
His name, man.
Get it right. It's all good, man. It is what it is, man. No doubt. So we out here talking a whole bunch of stuff. We all over the place. I got my man Matt in the building with me. I got Kia in the building with me. So what's good, man? We talking about the Yankees or whatever. You want to add anything? We talking about All-Stars and all that good stuff right there. So where you at?
Yeah, can I have a favor?
Can you have a favor?
I need a favor.
You need, that's even worse. You need a favor?
Yeah,
what's
bro.
What's going on, man?
Can you please get Tanaka to pitch every game? Just every game. Every game.
This dude, man.
I need help, bro.
I wish, man, but, you know, unfortunately, we can't make that happen. But like we were saying earlier, man, I think that the Yankees are, you know, we are where we need to be. And if we didn't have Tanaka, we would be where we don't want to be. So we just got to, you know.
Yeah, we're in striking distance. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're in striking distance.
And you know,
Toronto is acting like this is 2013 instead of 2014.
Yeah, the only way down. Oh, listen.
You know, you know, everybody's back for them. You know, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. But I think we might have to go out and get somebody.
Did you touch on the Royals yet, sir?
Yes. You got to talk to Kia about that.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that was all of our picks at the beginning of the year. We all said Kansas City, but, you know, we were just shot for the first 2 months of the season. But they look house money right now, bro.
Is it more about the Kansas City Royals, or is it more about the Detroit Tigers and Verlander not showing up and Scherzer?
It's more about Kansas City.
Okay.
It's more, and to boo Justin Verlander yesterday, I mean, what are we at? Where are we at here with this? But, you know, sports is something else, man. I mean, I guess it is. What have you done for me lately?
It is what it is, man, because you know what, man? I can't front on that because even as I see in the Knicks, man, you already know. You know what I mean? The Knicks will get booed at home. We get blown by 35 or 40. You know what I mean? We're not having that. So, again, man, you got to know respect them for having passion. But what I cannot deal with, I cannot, you know, understand Hollywood, is them getting up and leaving.
Yeah, that's the
thing. That's the thing that bothers me. I can't respect that.
Hey, Chris, but if you think about it, you know, like, go back to them booing Justin Verlander. What do fans want? They want to win. When do they want it? You know what I mean? And, I mean, obviously they want it now, so they're greedy. I mean, they're selfish. I mean, look at the Miami Heat fans freaking leaving in the NBA Finals. That was brutal.
Oh, that was horrible. Oh, I couldn't believe that.
It's so sad. Yeah.
I mean, you know, a team, to be honest with you, boss, a team to me, after a world title is given 2 years. They can stink for 2 years.
Yeah.
After that, then you can start booing. Seriously, you can't do it the next year.
I can rock with that.
You know what I'm saying, man? You know, you got to give them at least 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not right, though. I mean, fans are booing. I mean, what the hell do they expect? Do they expect them to win every freaking game? They got to play a better team.
Yes, that's what they expect.
Respect the competition.
That's what they expect.
Their meal ticket let them down, man. LeBron is their meal ticket. That's the only thing they got to ride on. You know what I mean? They talk about LeBron year in and year out because that's all they got to ride on. So when their meal ticket let them down, they had no excuse. They had nowhere to go. So
LeBron should stick it to him and leave. That's what he should do. Bye, Miami. I gave you your two little titles. Have fun with it because you won't win another one for the next 70 years.
Mm. East fans is different than East sports. I think football fans, they expect their team to win every Sunday. And I can contest to that. You have fans, different. You got baseball fans who love their baseball, but football fans, they expect their team to go undefeated.
Is that the Pittsburgh Steelers fan?
You know how I'm
always saying. I was waiting for the
Y'all know me about my skills. I expect that.
She ain't talking about the regular fans. She talking about the Steelers fans.
She's talking about her.
Especially the ones named Kia.
Talking about her and Slay.
Oh, my God. So, Kia, you expect the Steelers to win every game no matter who's on their team, huh?
It's different, though, because the fans in the NFL, like, they're loyal. They show up. There's 16 games in a regular season. There's 80-something games in an NBA regular season. You know what I mean? So it's not eye-watching or eye-popping to the eye. You know what I mean? When you watch it. But the NBA Finals is, and for fans to walk out because their team's not doing well, it's shameless.
You know what, boss? Honestly, my real personal opinion about that, seriously, those are not real fans.
Yeah,
you know, right. You know where the real fans was at in that game?
Where?
The ones where Miami was down 21 with like 3 seconds left, and it was like, "Let's go Heat." Those are fans. Those are the true fans, if you ask me. Those other people are the ones who paid 7, 8, $1,500 for seats. I'm expecting a victory. And then when they're doing an interview with LeBron at the end of the game, they were expecting to get a little five-minute party time on national television.
Let me chime in real quick. You know what I don't understand? As, you know, Miami Heat fans or whatever the case may be, they will down us for me for being a Knicks fan. They will be like, oh, you like the Knicks. The Knicks, when the last time the Knicks won something. I'm still a Knicks fan.
You stuck with them.
They ain't got to win nothing, and that's still what Knicks do. You know what I mean?
I used to get abused.
You got to ride with your team if they win it, and that says everything about you.
I used to get abused back in 1988 with Tim Leary and Andy Hawkins. You remember Andy Hawkins?
I mean, and that's the difference between being a real dude that's going to, you know, rock with your team and being somebody that's sometimey and on some Saturday Love stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could talk about the Knicks all day. I don't care what you say. That's still my team.
At the end of the day. Yep.
To the, you know what I mean? So the difference between me and you is that I won't hear from you when the Heat are losing. But when the Knicks are doing bad, I'll talk about them.
You guys know me. I'm all Lakers and still
don't know. You was on strike. I was waiting for you to say something. You
was on strike during the year, yeah.
You
I remember that.
Know I'm all
so, come on now. Hey, can I get a bomb for that? Can I get a bomb drop for that? Kia walked right into that one.
I just don't play with my Lakers. I'm Lakers. I'm Steelers. I just expect a lot from my teams. I don't, you know, the passion. You know I'm passionate about my
team. Even when you, and Kia, the good thing about it is you expect a lot from your team even when you know that they're not good.
That's a great thing,
though. That's a great thing.
I have a passion for this game. I love this game.
Yeah, I'm like that with my teams. I do not stop watching them. Like I said, back in 1988, 1989, when we had the immortal Tim Leary, you know, we had Andy Hawkins.
Come on now.
You know,
come on now.
Look at
the team we had back then.
That wasn't a team. Who was our catcher?
Hey,
Matt Noakes.
Yeah, Matt Noakes. So, really, you know, it is what it is with them. But go ahead, Matt. What was you saying, yo?
All I was saying is I was on Twitter, right, and I saw some guy wanted to say, I'll give you two examples. You know, the guy that the Kings won the Stanley Cup, they're like, there's a picture of his bio, and it's like, loyal Kings fan since 2012. Oh, wait, what happened in 2012? Oh, wait, they won the Stanley Cup, right? And then another guy is like, on Twitter, he's like, you know, it's been a nice run, it's been a nice 4 years run with the Miami Heat. You know, see how the offseason goes and see what team, you know, comes out of me next. Like, bro, that's so, you're effing so stupid.
And that's the worst right there. How can you respect that? How can be, and you know what, Kia? In Hollywood, yo, I go hard at these cats in them other rooms, man, because it's like, I see where you at with yours, and you can't touch me. Regardless of what you say, and whatever try to spin you put on it, I got something for it. You know what I mean? And I'm starting to come to the realization that it's about a bunch of fun and games, and I'm not about fun and games when it comes to that. Know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
What you're talking about, yo.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But again, man, how could you be a fan of a team when you talk about, well, it's a nice four-year run. I'm going to see who's coming out next season, excuse my French, Ms. Lavina, cover your ears, whose cojones I can swing from this season.
Yeah, I can't stand those kind of people.
You know what I'm saying? Cover your ears, Ms. Lavina.
Every year you're changing teams. Every year the Chicago Bulls.
They win a championship. But don't get it twisted. I'm a Knicks fan. I wanted San Antonio to beat the Heat. That don't mean I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan.
Exactly.
You retard. Don't get it twisted.
Exactly.
Mayor, so you had that too? When I told everybody I wanted San Antonio to beat Miami, here the first thing I heard, oh, you don't change the teams. Now you're a Lakers fan. Now you root for San Antonio.
That's
I'm like, what?
Excuse my French. Cover your ears, Ms. Lavina. That's retarded talk. I'm a Knicks fan all day long, hard body, but I wanted the Spurs to beat.
To win.
So how does that make me a Spurs fan? I wanted the Spurs
crazy.
To win. What's the problem?
No, you're not entitled. You're not entitled to have another team. You're not entitled.
You know what
that's supposed to
kill me?
If you're Knicks,
in New York, you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan.
If your Knicks do not make the playoffs, you're supposed to turn your TV off then and there
and
not watch basketball until the following season. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's the difference between me and them. I can talk about their team, my team, and any other team in the league.
You ever had the ones that only talk about that team during the season? You ever had those ones? Oh, those ones kill me. Oh, they kill me. You talk about the Yankees all year, all summer long. As soon as the season's over, I don't hear nothing about the Yankees anymore. You get to spring training, you're like, oh, I didn't know we had this one and that one. Really? But you're a Yankee fan. How you don't know that?
Exactly. That's how you exactly.
How do you not know this?
I agree.
Like, no, I had three people tell me they're Yankee fans. They didn't even know we had Carlos Beltran. I'm like, what? Carlos Beltran?
That's when you want to introduce him
and
to
you
the,
know, and you know what gets me too?
The five fingers into the face.
I'm a fan of the game. I'm going to know what's going on everybody's team. How I know who's playing on your team and you don't know who's playing on your team? And I'm not saying your team, but I know who's playing.
Listen, there's always a competition every year. My brother and I, we always do this. Name five people from each team. Name five.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we just say five, and it's a 25-man roster. But we start going to the point where we're at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And then people who will be these fans of these teams, they only know, we got Albert Pujols. Oh, Josh Hamilton, we got him. What's that guy name? He had a brother look like him. He's the pitcher for us. What's his name? Jeff Weaver. That's what you're talking about.
You know, you gotta shut them down early. I ain't got no time for that. I got too much things that I gotta do.
Man,
be worried about waiting for you to figure it out. But we got 10 minutes left in the show, man. After the review in the building, GQ Palace Radio, aka GQ Palace Sports, is in your ear and in your eye. I got my man Matt in the building with me. I got Kia in the house, and I got my man Mr. Hollywood. We gonna do a little round table, man. You know how we do it. We let everybody get their little words in before we get out of here.
Can I go first? Because I gotta go.
All right, Hollywood, hurry up, man. Say what you got to say so we can get out of here.
I just want to give a special shout-out to the NYC Jayhawks 12 and under team who opened up their 35th year in the preteen classics with a 41-35 victory over a team called Lost and Found. High-scoring balanced game, 14 points by Jaheim Fisher, 13 points by Taquan Pearson, who was a guest on your show. Thank you for that again. Just a nice balanced attack that we had defensive-wise as well. Next game, Sunday, 2:30 versus the Conference.
That's what's up. Shout out to the Jayhawks and all that. That's all you want to say, man, before we get out of here?
Yeah, God bless all y'all, and I'll talk with y'all soon.
All right, peace, my dude. That was Mr. Hollywood in the building, man, on After Further Review. Hey, yo, Matt, man, what you got to say before we get out of here?
I don't know, man. I appreciate you getting me on. I mean, I always enjoy talking sports with you. Obviously, you're welcome on. Me and Sonny are doing a show tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. Obviously, we always know you're welcome on. Same with you, Kia. Same with all of the listeners. Information will be on Facebook, and I'm sure Chris will like it, so I could obviously share that. Yeah, it's a great show. I mean, I always enjoy talking sports with you. I mean, I really got nothing else unless you want me to, unless we're talking about another topic, man. You do a great job, as always.
That's what it is, man. Let people know how they can get in touch with you, though.
Yeah, hey, my Twitter is Matty, M-A-T-T-Y, _ICE07. I'm friends with Chris. We retweet, you know, obviously I follow back, and I'll definitely give you my opinions, and analysis, obviously with some backup. And as Chris can attest to you, I'm the facts and statistics guy, so obviously I know my stuff.
That's the numbers, dude, y'all.
And, yeah, I mean, that's it. You can also find me on Facebook, friends with Chris. And other than that, man, I'll definitely interact with you guys, and, I mean, I enjoy the company. So any of you guys want to just chat it up, I'm definitely down to do it as well. And as Chris would say, chop it up, right?
That's what it is, no doubt. No doubt. Thank you, man, no doubt. Hey, Kia, before we get out of here, you got something to say, so I'm going to let you out of the floor.
You know I love this game. You know I love this Tuesday. You know, you do a great job. You know, I love listening to you talk about baseball. I may not in that era, been born in that era, but, Matt, I really picked that out about you, about knowing stats. Chris, you know your baseball. So it's always a blessing to hear other people talk about sports and know stuff
right.
that they know. So you, what you don't know, you can get what they know. And
right, right.
Other team like Voltron, baby.
Yeah, I love it. You know I love it. I love this game. I have a passion for the sports. I love it. I love it. And I look forward to Tuesday talking sports.
And you know what? Also, if I could, Chris, can I say one more thing?
Go ahead, man.
Hey, you know, it's always cool talking with other people that, as you say, Kia and Chris, who, like, love and obviously Hollywood is just here talking about sports, right? Because it's obviously better than talking about the ignorant sports fans who are like, oh, who's going to win the
exactly.
NBA Finals? Oh, the
exactly.
Miami Heat, why? Oh, they,
yeah, hold on,
exactly.
hold on for a minute. Matt, I want to get your, what's your opinion about that, man?
What?
Like, fans that really don't know what they're talking about, like,
exactly.
and try to bring the heat when it comes to sports versus people that really just talk the game because they know the game and they love the game and they talk about it from
exactly.
the inside out.
AI, here's what I think, Chris. I think ignorance is bliss, and in this day and age, everyone wants to fit in, and everyone has to have an opinion, you know what I mean? And it's just ridiculous how many people think, oh, who's the best team in the NFL now? Oh, why? Seattle Seahawks. Oh, why? Oh, because they won the Super Bowl. Are they the best team, or are you just saying that because they won the Super Bowl? Are you talking ignorant right now?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Who's the best player? Who's the best player in the NBA? LeBron. Who's the best team in the NBA? The Miami Heat. Why? Oh, they have LeBron James. Oh, really? Because I think the Spurs have swept their ass, right? You know what I mean? So, I mean,
exactly.
Don't hurt nothing, Obi.
Exactly.
Don't hurt nothing.
I mean, who's the best team in the
building,
World Cup?
The numbers guy. He's in the building, man, holding it down.
I see that right now when he starts talking, he starts saying the numbers. See, this is the stuff you can learn from other guys and people that you know that know their sports because you don't know, but you sit and you listen. I listen. I'm like, well, wow, I didn't know that.
Right.
Okay, good. Because you're looking and you're listening to understand, you know. But, yep, I picked that up.
No,
that's what
absolutely.
It is. We appreciate you. I got my man in the building. So we put together a team like Voltron. I told you I know what I'm doing when it comes to this situation. Got the mayor in the house rocking out on GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. I want to shout out my man, Rich Money's in the building right now. Hey, man, keep me updated, man. Hit me, man, if you hear anything about my lovely, beloved Bell. If you out there, whoever has my boxing bell, if you're listening, could you please return my bell?
We're
going to put together some ransom money for the bell. Miss Laverne is going to bake some cookies and have a talent show. Shout out to the cheerleader squad. They do their thing. Shout out to them. I see you. Yeah, man. So this week, man, we lost some people that were very near and dear to us in sports, man. Again, rest in peace, Chuck Noll. Rest in peace, Tony Gwynn. Rest in peace, Bob Welch, man. And, you know, anybody else who lost somebody near and dear to them, rest in peace. Respect, you know what I mean? We crowned some champions. Shout out to the Silver and Black, Los Angeles Kings. Put the smack down on the New York Rangers and all that. And San Antonio Spurs showed that they weren't ready for the old folks home, not just yet. You know, giving it to the Miami Heat. They gave LeBron James all types of indigestion and all types of other problems. But it is what it is. So now we're taking it basically back to, you know, the beginning now. You know, LeBron has another decision to make. So we're going to keep everybody on their, you know, sitting on their hands, waiting what type of decision he's going to make all summer long. We're going to see how the Donald Sterling thing is going to play out, see how the Clippers are going to come back next season and all that. NBA basketball, man, it's always great. It was a great season. I think the team that deserved to win won it. And Miami just now is at the back of the pack now. They just got to start over from scratch. The onus is on Pat Riley to make it happen. I think the best thing for LeBron James to do at this point is to stay. But if he goes, I would like to see him go back to Cleveland just to see the story. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Go ahead.
Nothing interesting.
I would like to, if he does go, I definitely don't want to see him with the Knicks. Definitely. Do not.
I don't want to see him with the Lakers. I agree.
Not
want to
see LeBron James with the Knicks.
I agree.
I can't. Can you imagine if LeBron James was playing for the Knicks and he had diarrhea or stomach cramps or something, he couldn't go? Can you imagine?
He wouldn't be able to get the Garden.
The Daily News and the Post. Goodness. He couldn't hack it out here. That's why I wouldn't want
they
LeBron James. The Knicks. He couldn't stand the pressure, yo. He couldn't deal with it. And we would really be expecting him and wanting him to win because now this dude is here, and I'm mad because we had to go buy us a championship, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I hope
he
stays in Miami. I think that, you know, he has something to prove. You know what I mean? Can he, you know, make a nice little, you know, rebound comeback story or whatever? But, you know, that's neither here nor there. After further review, GQ Palace Radio in the building. Shout out to Chris Algieri, who knocked off Ruslan Pravatnikov last weekend to take his title. That was a very good fight or whatever. Check me out, man. Tomorrow night, man, I'm on Shot 97. Shout out to Mike Hands, Diverse the First, Last American B-Boy. I'm on Getting It Done Radio tomorrow night, man, from 10 to 12 midnight. Holler at your boy. Mondays, I'm on the Partly Sunny Cruz show with my man Sunny Cruz, my man Matt in the building. Tuesday, you know what it is. I'm back in the ear and in your eye with my man Rich Money and Miss Lavina holding it down. We still need our bell back, y'all. We know you got it. It's out there floating around somewhere. I want to shout out to my man Slate for checking in. Shout out to my man Matt for holding me down. Mr. Hollywood for coming through. Kia, as always, you are always in the building. That's what it is. She's trying to keep that title, y'all. She won the title as After Further Reviews Call of the Year last year. She's trying to hold on to that championship belt. It's all good. Every Tuesday, man, it goes down, 8 to 10 p.m. Shout out to the rest of the GQ Palace crew. Check out the Diva Squad tomorrow night, man. You know what I mean? They do their thing. They got to think they had a new time or whatever. But get at them. You know what I mean? They do what you want, and they rock how you like. Check out the Bellmans on Thursday, man. Check out the big homie Rich on Friday, Mr. Lavina, and my man Scribio on Sundays. Mondays is Unsigned Artist Radio, and Tuesdays is right back here with the mayor on After Further Review on GQ Palace Radio, a.k.a. GQ Palace Sports. Once again, man, thanks to everybody, man. Shout out to the listeners. I see you, too. Next week, man, it'll be on and popping. Once again, this is the mayor, and I'm out. Peace.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You wanna join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay, the recap. The game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a clip. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Hey y'all, this is Halfpipe from Son of Berserk, No Self-Control. Keep it tuned to the Mayor After Further Review on GQ Palace Radio.
This is Johan, and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. For some great sports talk and debate, check out the mayor on After Further Review on Tuesday night. Say night. Say
call
night,
in. Call night, in. Call night, in. Call night. In.
And it's